515-851-5834. Come out of state area code 702-451-5834. And if you have never called before, of course, you have that brand new member line listening to us outside the state of Nevada at 702-451-5655. So if someone were listening to us right now who's homeless and has nothing to eat at this point, they could go somewhere and get something to eat right now.
Yes, sir.
Right this second.
Yes, I've talked with many people who are living in parks in Manhattan,
right,
for instance. Most of the people are eating clover and are eating the things I eat. You come to it very naturally, Billy, because when you're with it, mm-hmm, and you're living with it,
right,
your mind will ask over and over, gee, I wonder if I can eat that. Gee, I wonder if I can eat
that. Right.
And we have rules we follow. Certain rules like crushing and rolling and smelling first before you do anything. And then you rub.
Crushing and rolling
crush
and smelling.
Roll and smell. Use that smeller. If you can't smell it, don't touch it. In other words, you're not in tune enough if you can't even smell that. You're not in tune enough with that.
And you have to be in tune.
I think you need to be in tune, because to be in tune is to have an accurate reading,
mm-hmm,
of something that you ingest. I don't care what's from store or where it's
right
from.
Right, right.
So if you can't smell it, you better move on to something else that you can smell first and,
mm-hmm,
say, gee, do I like it or don't I?
Mm-hmm.
And the next test is rolling it and rubbing it on your gum and waiting 20 minutes. You roll it, crush it, and rub it on your gum and wait 20 minutes.
Or it sounds like a ritual of some sort.
Well, it is, but it can save your life. Roll it on and rub it on your gum and wait 20 minutes. If you don't get any itching or swelling or burning or anything, then your body is generally tolerating it well. We teach children to crush it, put it on under a Band-Aid, and put it on your arm overnight. And when you wake up in the morning, your body will tell you whether that's something that you're going to agree with. Yeah?
Hold on. Let's see if one of the callers, see what they have on their mind. Okay?
Sure.
All right. Let's take a call and see what you have on your mind tonight. Hi, you're Linda Runyon on the Beligament Happening.
Yeah,
hello. Yeah. Yes.
I got some questions for you.
She's right there. Speak up, 606.
Okay, I'm sorry. I don't know if I was on the air.
You're on the air.
Yeah.
I can hear you.
Okay, years ago in Chicago along the railroad tracks, I used to see old ladies from the old country. They used to have big shopping bags and they go around pulling weeds up.
I guess.
What were they taking dandelions?
Well, we figured out that there's about 6 or 10 that are in every area you're looking at. And one is usually clover, dandelion, and some type of wild lettuce. Like the desert has a lot of different wild lettuces on it. And she was probably picking, it had to be clover, dandelion, a wild lettuce, and this new Malva neglecta that's now spread everywhere. People are eating this a lot out here. Mexican population eats it a great deal.
How can you tell the difference between a poison mushroom and a good one?
I don't touch mushrooms myself. I consider, some people I know, experts on it. I don't consider myself an expert. I lived in the woods for 20 years. I was 18 and a half miles in. And if I had made a mistake with a mushroom, I wouldn't be here at all. So I had no phone or anything, electricity or anything, for almost 20 years.
Okay, thanks a lot.
No.
Thanks, 606.
Right.
Holy mackerel, you had no electricity?
No, sir.
And you lived in the woods?
I lived in the wilderness of Indian Lake, New York, up to Canada.
Uh-huh.
And I went in with an IBM husband, my former husband. I've been divorced about 7 years now. And raised a boy in there. And we lived with the bears, you might say, literally. And I came by this in what I call a survival way. I got tired walking to town 8.5 miles and walking back 8.5 miles. So I started foraging. And a book told me that clover was equal to cheese in vegetable protein, and in the Chinese, buy it in the marketplaces equal to cheese, so I started eating it. And before I knew it, I developed a tolerance that was incredible. I could forage just like, almost like an animal.
If you have a question for Linda Runyon, this is your opportunity of a lifetime to talk to an environmentarianist, someone who has spent 20 years up in the woods, surviving in the woods. Brad Kleitz, do you hear this? In other words, you were like a survivalist.
Yes, sir.
you never went to the store. I guess you had never had to go to a store. You had everything all around you.
We had it down to about $10 a month within 6 months. That was our goal.
Now, while you were out there, were you enjoying yourself?
Not all the time.
Not all the time.
It was extremely difficult learning to trust yourself and what your instincts were, you know, at 40 below. We were at 40 below. And it came as threatening as the desert is becoming to me now, taking 38 people out and taking responsibility for it.
Mm-hmm.
It's as difficult to learn on the opposite end of the scale.
Okay. We are going to have to take some time out for some messages. Now, I want you to understand something, Linda. While we do say we're going to take a break, that your telephone is live like a microphone. You will describe yourself.
I'm a registered nurse. I am a grandmother of 7 grandchildren.
Oh, wow.
And, I'm very busy learning to get back into the system so that I can develop this National Field Guide.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been doing some other work with what we call Wild Food Cards. I'm finding myself now a marketer.
I have those. I have some
of those. Oh, you do?
Wild Food Cards. In other words, I have a 10 of diamonds. A 10 of diamonds is a violet. I have it right in my hand. Okay, let's go to Colly. Colly has a question for you, so don't go away. We'll go to Colly, and Colly, what's on your mind tonight, Colly?
Hi.
Hi.
It would be so wonderful if we had a tour to go to these busy city dwellers that have no time to do anything. I guess we have a little time to go to the grocery store, but to find the time to go looking for these items.
Oh, I would love to come up and do just that.
I mean, I would, if I had a place that I could go and just shop for these items, and if I had recipes, you see, it would be much easier for me to try to incorporate that into my lifestyle, because I really would like to eat healthy. I always imagined myself as what it would be like to just surviving in the woods and just eating off the land.
The fat of the land, right?
The fat of the land.
You don't say, you're not the fat of the land.
It's wonderful, and I just think about all the pop and the chips and everything that we eat and that we consume.
Well, right now we're busy growing pots inside the apartment because the kids that come to visit me now are eating freely from all these pots filled with all the same food, wild food that's out there in the desert. And this is the way to begin, right in your own house.
Tell me, start with growing these things in little pots in the house.
Oh, yeah.
And they don't die.
They're wild food. They grow fantastic. You know? There's nothing stopping them in our regular potting soil. And we've been growing like white clover and sorrel right in the house in flower pots and the children that come to visit not only can have a popsicle of these things for a taste, but they can just freely eat the leaves and familiarize themselves with what they can eat out here. And it makes it a lot easier and it makes more sense to me after doing it the wrong way, I call it, you know, being forced into it in a sense.
In a philosophical sort of sense, what kind of person are you? Are you metaphysical?
People say I am.
But you don't have a label for yourself.
No.
What does this do for you in your body state? Does this clear your mind or
100%.
Make you less sluggish?
I have more control over myself than I have ever had in any other way.
Were you talking to a grandmother? 7 grandchildren. She sounds like she's 25 years old.
Oh, thank you.
Don't you agree?
I think she sounds like she's very young.
Oh, boy. I...
25. Oh, I
don't know. You sound so young for grandmother, 7 children. My goodness.
Well, I'm going to loosen off the air. This is a really big
one. You like this one, huh, Colly? All right, thanks for the call. All right, bye-bye. Linda Runyon, how about you? Do you like this topic, too? Let us know. Of course, you know, Linda, I don't know if you know what we do here at the Billy Goodman Hotline.
No, I don't.
Well, we are the UFO Connection.
Uh-huh.
We talk about UFOs and the sightings of UFOs and how we can force the government's hand in telling us the truth about these UFOs. Do you believe in UFOs, by the way?
Well, yes, I see my share, sir.
You see your share. Okay, ma'am. You call me, sir, I'll call you, ma'am. But anyway, Linda Runyon is my guest. If you have a question for her, feel free to call. We're going to have to get...
Oh, but I mean, the leads, to me, the leads, if they're dried, whatever is on those deck of cards, all of those plants are, they're everything.
Uh-huh.
They are, they're raw, they're soup, they're salad, they're a clover. If you took it from beginning to end, it has about 18 uses. It's a soup, it's a salad, you can dry it and make bread out of it. It's a flour. You can French fry the clover heads and
mm-hmm.
make clover puffs. You have casserole, you've got tea, and on, all the way down to sprouting it and freezing it, baking it, or drying it. So that if you look at your greens on the desert, that we call desert greens or wild food,
right.
you could take it all the way down the food chain
mm-hmm.
so that you might have five or six things in your backyard right now that could be taken all the way down the food chain.
You know what I'm finding fascinating? The response is very limited tonight. And this is so important to people. I mean, there are people out there, I guess people are so rich they don't have to worry about it. But down the line, you may wind up in the woods. No, I know this is no joke.
No,
I know. This could happen to the world. You know, there are people right now living off the fat of the land, Bruce Lilly.
I've got the New York Times in front of me here, and just a quote. It's the title of it is We Are Close to Starvation.
I am very, very much aware of it. And I don't know why. I don't know if I'm getting it intuitively from somewhere or whatever. But I am very aware that there are people out there right now starving. No question about it. The people out there don't have a penny in their pocket. But then there are others out there that can't even identify with it. And those are the ones that I feel sorry for, because all of a sudden it's going to happen to them. And they better get their act together. And this is one way of knowing what to do just in case. It happens to you.
Mm-hmm.
Just in case.
It's a survival kit.
It's a survival kit.
Just not the way I do it, but, 100% or anything like this, but just remembering those film clips there from Armenia when that happened, the first thing I wanted to do was get all my desk of cards,
Sure.
But the second thing I saw was people had cast iron pots in their backyard over the campfire and were brewing up greens. They knew what to do.
Linda Runyon knows what to do. Do you have a question for her? Feel free to give us a call at 451-5834 from out of state, area code 702-451-5834. If you would like to talk with Linda, and I can't see why you wouldn't, this is a very interesting lady, a lady that can probably help people out to get free food. And that's not bad. That's not a bad way to go through life. You're doing your part for humanity. How did you get into it? I know you mentioned you spent 20 years out there in the woods. Is that where it all began? You started...
That's where it began. I went in with an IBM husband, and we had seen the film 2001.
What does IBM husband mean, by the way?
Well, a husband that was dedicated to the system as an IBM executive.
Dedicated to the system. Okay, I see.
To me.
As a kid. Right.
Anyway,
uh-huh.
Now being very dedicated to our wonderful system in this country, this system is the tool for learning and is the tool for survival through any eventuality. We're very lucky. And we have the media and we have everything we need to learn simply and easily. Any eventuality, we're really lucky. I see this now and did not see it in the woods for all those years. And I see it now. I have to share it, because if I don't share it, there's a whopping amount of guilt connected with it from someone who was an administrator of a hospital wing and everything. You know, I live on nothing, and that now paying the rent and paying the taxes and doing everything.
Sure.
I've got to share it. So that's where I'm at with this book.
Right.
So I have a meat market put out over here in around Phoenix area that's got also suggest you just the tumbleweed. We're always fixing tumbleweed. I grow it in the house.
Yeah.
And it's fantastic. It makes a ball and a pot, and it tries to continue to grow towards maturity. And we've had, I think, 40, 50 meals off of one flower pot already.
Wow. I understand there's even a cure for cancer growing out there.
Oh, yeah, there's lots of them.
Yeah.
I mean, there's lots of plants that are
not recognized by
the
AMA.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
They work.
Yep, your chaparral is one of those.
Okay, that's what I was referring to.
A cup of tea of that a day is incredible.
What does that do for you? Thank you, Bob, for your call.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Linda, what does this chaparral do for you? I've heard about that. What does it actually do for your system?
Chaparral is a tonic. It's a tonic that actually works for the cells inside out kind of thing. So it's like almost preserving your cells in a sense, you know.
Uh-huh.
It's known to be a cup a day type of thing that the Mexican population eats. And I'm finding that in a little bit larger doses, sometimes people with problems are able to help their problems a great deal.
Hmm. Linda Runyon is my guest. Let's take another call.
People with
I think 606 has another question for you. Do you, 606?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, Linda.
Hello.
I'm very impressed with what you're saying, and I want to commend Mr. Goodman for having you on his program.
Thank you.
It goes back to an old philosophical saying, if you give a man a fish, he can eat a meal.
Right on.
If you teach him how to fish, he can eat the rest of his life.
Right on. You know, I wish more people would tune into that. That's exactly what's going on here, folks. That's exactly what's going on. No free lunch. Actually, all the free lunches in the world if you do the right thing. And free dinners and free everything. You're right.
You know, the question I want to ask your guest, Bill, is if she's ever heard of Edgar Cayce.
I certainly have. I like a great deal for ARE Clinic.
You think a lot of his remedies for herbs and all that for curing diseases?
I think he's one of the most fantastic men in history. I have studied a great deal about him. Also studied a great deal about George Washington Carver. He's another gentleman who tried to do the same kind of thing as Jewel Gibbons and
George, the host of your show, they're Billy Goodman. He's talked to people about Nikola Tesla.
Yeah.
And maybe you could talk up a little bit about Edgar Cayce. Maybe people would like to hear about him.
Oh, I know Edgar Cayce. Sure. We've talked about him before.
Okay, Billy.
All right, guy. Thank you. All right, bye-bye. Linda Runyon is my guest. If you have a question for her, let's get it going, folks. What did you do? I mean, did you just chew them? I'm trying to think about this whole thing.
There's many things you can do with it. Let me say one thing. Today, our Christmas trees, a lot of them are sprayed.
Yeah.
And a lot of them are colored green.
Right.
And you don't want either one.
Oh.
You want to either gather your own or you want to ask if it's an organic tree. At least get the guarantee from the gentleman that's selling it to you that it's not been, shipped from the north and up and spray green.
Uh-huh.
So starting at that point, after you're finished with the tree, the needles are dry, so you put a sheet around the base of it,
mm-hmm.
and you take all you can off,
mm-hmm.
and those are very easily put into glass containers and kept as a tea. You just take a bunch of them,
mm-hmm.
put them in a pot,
mm-hmm.
heat it in hot water, and that's a vitamin C tea that's delicious. And once the needles are soft, you can eat them. Our popsicles have the needles in the tip end of them, you know,
right.
with the ice, and the kids chew on it. It's great. And I know people who even make pies out of it, out of the bark. There's a survival magazine recently I just read with a gentleman I'm in touch with him, Alan Beaver's his name, and he makes a pie, like an apple pie out of the bark of it, like oil in the bark.
I would think that most of these edible weeds, whatever, have a similar taste, right?
No, it seems like they would do, but
right.
they are totally and absolutely a whole gamut of food. I have as much variation and as much interest in the 50 pots in the other room. The taste is totally different on everything.
You mean, where you are right now, you have 50 pots?
I've got 150 in there, but there's 50 that are...
In
that,
one room?
Uh-huh.
We're talking with Linda Runyon. She has pots in her room, 150 of them. If you have a question for her, feel free to give us a call. You are listening to KVEG AM 840 on your radio dial. Hello, Desiree.
Hello, Billy.
Hi.
Hello, Linda.
Hello.
Yes, it's a pleasure to hear you on the radio. I think it's an extremely important subject, and I'm glad that you're on. I wish more people would call in and ask questions.
Thank you. I'm very grateful for this opportunity.
Yeah, I can hardly hear you, Linda. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Oh, good. I lived in the woods, my husband and I and our dogs, in the wilderness of Alaska for several years.
Uh-huh.
And we started off with Yul Gibbons, you know, he's got both his books.
Yep.
And fried our daylilies. It helped us survive. I mean, I think it's terribly important.
Yes, it is.
And I think that God gives us the things in the area, you know, the climate, the things that we need.
We have so much abundance that all the panic.
Yes, I mean, I have 12 acres here, and I could just feed on it.
Yeah. Food industry, but we have abundance.
I know.
Everywhere.
I know, and the funny thing is, when we were in Alaska, people were complaining they didn't get enough vitamin C, you know? They said, oh, by the time we get the vegetables and fruits from Seattle, there's no vitamin C left. I said, my God, you're living in it. You know, we learned from the Indians and the old-timers, and that was just the Indians, the old-timers, and my husband and me, and that was it. Everybody else was buying their wilted vegetables and fruits from Seattle.
I'd like to print like what you're saying in my newsletter. We have a newsletter.
Uh-huh.
So if you get a chance to write that post office box, I would like to.
I couldn't hear it. It's fading in and out. Is it all right, Billy? Can she give me her address while I hear it?
Yes.
Is Linda Runyon?
Yes. It's post office box 29225.
29225.
Las Vegas.
Oh, it's Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Okay.
A friend of mine very nicely took one out for me to make it easier.
Oh, good.
I'm hoping to get up to a field trip up there.
Good. What's the zip?
89126.
89126. Now, I have one more question, and I'll get off and let other people talk. But what do you do with weeping willows? I know that willow has salicylic acid, but what about the weeping willows?
Yeah, well, in the woods, I only use two medicines. Because
uh-huh.
I believe if you eat the food, it's your medicine.
Uh-huh.
So everything I'm eating is a medicine.
Yes.
It breaks down in the herbalist book.
Did you eat it as salad or steamed or...
Everything is a medicine. But weeping willow is not a food. That is definitely a medicine.
That would be an herb. Yeah, that's what I use the willow as.
So I use that for that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I've used a lot of them as herbs, too. As a matter of fact, I was so ignorant one time, I thought horsetail was a vegetable. We ate the horsetail. Our mouths were just full of this saliva. But you learn the hard way. Well, I'll get off, Linda. It was wonderful
nice to talk to you.
Thank you, Desiree.
I'll contact you. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Good to hear from you, Desiree. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That's Desiree.
Hi, Billy.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Good.
Good.
Linda.
Hello.
Terrific show.
Thank you.
My dad used to make a salad, a hot dandelion salad with potatoes, and he put bacon in his, and everybody just loved it.
You're making it sound good.
Well, everybody loved it, Billy, but I didn't like it, because dandelion to me are a little bitter.
Uh-huh.
And I have a sweet tooth, and that's another question. Linda, is there anything out there that is sweet?
Oh, my goodness, yes. First, can I say something about dandelion? Just as fun, next time you see one, take your left hand and grasp onto the flower.
Yeah.
And take your right hand and take the stem away from it. In other words, twist it, and so that you end up with yellow fluff, and that's as sweet as honey. Yeah, we stir fry it with a little bit of garlic and use it as a popsicle too for children. That is really sweet.
Do you do again? You take with
you
what?
You take a flower with your left fingers, you know, and hold on to it.
Uh-huh.
And twist that stem away. Twist the green away.
Uh-huh.
And you end up with yellow fluff, you know, the yellow petals.
Yeah.
And that is just as sweet as can be.
Oh, and you could use that in recipes, then?
Oh, yes, you can, because that's equal to 309 milligrams of calcium for half a cup. That's almost twice a glass of milk. So, used as a gourmet side dish, you're ending up with over a glass of milk and calcium.
Well,
in a very natural way, and the children have more fun twisting them off and doing that.
Terrific.
Thank you.
Well, I just want you to know this is a terrific program. Thank you, Billy.
Okay, 9-6. Thanks for the call.
Bye-bye.
Getting back to the dandelions, there are many, many uses for the dandelion.
Yes, sir.
Aren't there?
Certainly are.
How about telling us some of those?
Well, let's see. Our body needs 5,000 units of vitamin A a day. That's we know as a unit of measure.
Uh-huh.
And in a half a cup of dandelion leaves, there's 11,600 units of vitamin A.
So that is almost 3 times as much as we need a day.
Mm-hmm.
So I find if I dry it and make flour out of it, what I see is everything in equivalents, Billy. And the new book will show all these equivalents, like 8 cups of dandelion or 8 cups of steamed dandelion equal so many meals,
mm-hmm.
or 3 cups of fresh leaves dried on a screen equal a half a cup of flour.
Mm-hmm.
With that half a cup of flour, if you take just a teaspoon or so and sprinkle it in your pizza or your quiche or whatever you're making, you are sprinkling in an immense amount of vitamin A and calcium, and that's, to cure liver problems. And the calcium, as of course we know, is something that we need.
This is amazing. I'm looking through your cards, and now I realize the importance of the cards. Obviously, if you're out in the wilds of the woods, you can look and say, hey, that looks like a fireweed.
That's why I do that, because
yes,
if I had had those, it would have saved me years of grief.
Wow.
If I had had them.
And now, can they get these cards if they call right to that post office box number?
Yes, you certainly can, but
folks, you want to get your hands on something interesting. This is something. I'm looking at them right now. Wow, wild lettuce and maple.
Oh, I want to say they're free, though, Billy. They're free with the
center.
Yeah.
Did you hear that, folks? The entire deck free.
They're free if someone gets a newsletter. So just call for write for information.
Right.
And you'll have the opportunity.
Right. What are some of the favorites? I shouldn't say that. What's most predominant when you enter into the area of the woods and you're looking for something? Which most likely that you're going to see first?
Well,
is there some sort of
you're talking woods, though.
Yeah.
You're entering the woods. You're looking at trees.
Yeah.
So that you have a group of trees in your mind that immediately say are edible, and first is pine.
Uh huh.
Even if you took your penknife and just took a tiny little strip of bark off of a nice fresh twig, that bark is chewable, delicious, and will put you right on your feet again. So it will put that entire tree as edible. Look at maple trees as edible, those little pinwheels that come down, float down.
Mm.
They are incredible. The Chippewas take those ends off, and they dry them and pound them to flour, and they make maple cakes out of those little pinwheels.
Mm-hmm.
And they're awful good. And, of course, the sap we all know is the maple.
Right.
And white birch is something that I do miss here in Arizona, but I understand it is in the Ohio country and areas that I've not been in yet.
Uh-huh.
And the inner bark of white birch is put into the bread, the Sweden and Denmark over there,
mm-hmm.
as a mineral supplement. And it's a very valuable tool for food, the inner bark. So I look at a piece of firewood, like a two-foot wide piece of firewood, taking the bark off of the firewood and not killing the tree.
So in other words, what you do is, I guess you have nature walks, so basically,
yeah.
You get together with some people and you point out what this is and
yes.
how to prepare it and what it tastes
yes.
like.
And the book is what we're hoping to get early spring, get out, because this is going to show it all,
uh-huh.
everything we can put in
uh-huh.
it.
And you've never been to Vegas before?
No, I haven't.
Let's say you were to come to Vegas, how would you know where to go? Would you just go anywhere? Or?
Anywhere at all. In L.A., I went out and did the home show out there, and the streets are loaded with the same exact thing on the deck of cards. There were 18 of the plants in the deck of cards in the sidewalk cracks
mm-hmm.
Of the sidewalks of L.A.
Well, folks listening out there, if you'd like to have Linda Runyon come in town or something for a nature walk, let me know that we can put something like this together.
It is.
Right.
So I think again we're getting back to where we're thinking about bringing in off your sidewalk or your backyard maybe even 3 things that are edible and putting them right underneath by the stove and tweaking off a couple of leaves here and there and putting them in an omelet or a salad or whatever and developing a taste for like a pansy. Pansies are delicious.
Really?
Pansies are delicious. Roses are incredible.
Mm.
Red rose is a red popsicle, and it makes red sorbet ice cream. You need nothing, no sugar or anything. It's incredible. Put through a sorbet machine, it's ice cream.
A yellow rose is yellow ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
Stir frying a violet is an experience. It's absolutely delicious.
All right. We have some folks that do have some questions for you. I think we're getting some interest. So most of what you're saying has to be prepared. It's not.
No. All the plants, except for the two medicines on that deck of cards, are all raw.
Just pick them right off and eat them. Wow.
I ended up with 52. I'd like to say this. And I ended up with 52 because these are the ones that are everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And we did a study of worldwide plants. And we found that these are the weeds, we call it, that we've been trying to get rid of.
Mm-hmm.
But these are the ones we can't stop. So these are the abundance. These are the food.
Okay, let's go to Janine and see what Janine has on her mind.
Right? Stop.
Yeah.
Hello, Janine.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you tonight?
I'm okay. It's an interesting topic, I'll tell you.
Yes, it is. I have a question. I was wondering, can someone who, you know, just a person that works from like 8 to 5, is there any way that they could, you know, make this for dinner? I mean, you just can't go out and pick this. I mean, if you don't have a garden or something, how would you go about doing this, like, for dinner? If you're going to go prepare a dinner, you just go out and pick it out of your backyard. Do you have to start a garden? Or?
Yeah.
No, the wonderful thing is that it is growing there, wherever you are. You have what you consider weeds or you know, plants that you don't know what they are, and it's what we get rid of usually. They're already there. They're in almost every dirt or sand spot that there is, so that you already have it. And the thing is to be able to identify it is why I'm really hoping that the book from Harmony can
mm-hmm.
The urban food field kind of thing for identification is real important, because then you can like walk just right down a line and see it real easily. You can see it with the cards too, but to see it live like that would be real important for nature to just put in a strip of food like that. You have it already, and you can begin just by beginning. Find a pine tree. Be sure it's 100 feet off the road. Lead and cadmium come out of the back end of a car and go up and come down at 50 to 75 feet, so that your worst pollution is 50 to 75 feet. And that's quite a distance off a curb. If you pace it off, you'll find you're in quite a way. So an awful lot of what we're eating is on the road, and a lot of what we're eating is from fruit stands and such, like in Manhattan, that's right on the road.
Outside, Janine.
It's important to know that.
You're getting hungry, Janine?
Yeah. Very interesting. Thank you very much.
Thanks for the call, Janine.
Uh-huh.
All right, bye-bye. There goes Janine. Our guest is grandmother Linda Runyon, who has 7 grandchildren. Stood in the line in depression. She sounds like she's 35 years old. But how you next? I believe it's going to happen. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Gloria?
Yes, you are, ma'am.
I wanted to ask her where I could get those cards.
The cards are $10. They have an airline baggage tie through them, so that they can be clipped onto your bag or car or something like that. And they come.
Okay.
No, I don't.
You don't?
No, that's okay.
Without speaking, hold on a second. Is anyone in your family sick?
Well, I had a stepfather who died from cancer.
Well, you don't have a question for the you don't have a question for the good doctor? You had a stepfather that died of cancer. He's telling you he should have never died of cancer?
Yeah, it's a surprise to me. It really is. And that's why I listen to your program and keep up on things.
All right. Okay. You don't have a question for him then.
Bye-bye.
All right. Thanks a lot.
She doesn't have a question for her. I think she was nervous more than anything else, but that happens sometimes. I know Tony's not nervous. Tony will have a question for you, I guarantee it.
Hi, Tony.
Yeah, good morning. Before I ask my questions, I wanted to propose an idea to you and see if this jibes with what you're talking about. Looking at a human being from a holistic model, I see that the prime cause of all disease is an imbalance in energy flows between the whole being, you know, spirit, mind, and body, and the environment. what we call the exterior environment, which isn't really exterior because we're part of an ongoing energy system between ourselves and the whole universe, right? So I think your theory sort of explains how this works on a cellular level, and of course in all the ancient mystical systems, breath is considered life. It's the energy of life. So I think what you're talking about fits into a holistic model, you know, really nicely. I guess my first question for you is, have you experimented with herbs to improve the response of the immune system?
Oh, yes. Matter of fact, the science that I work with is the only science in the world that can explain how and why an herb works.
What herbs work on a basis of energy. With?
Hold it now, Tony. Tony, hold it. Hold it a second, both of you. Tony, let him answer before you answer.
I couldn't hear. I thought he stopped.
No, Tony, listen to me. Keep the telephone close to your ear and pay attention to his question, his answer, and then ask your question, all right? Please help us with that because it's difficult. See, what happens, I don't know if you heard me explain.
Yeah, I heard.
Okay, all right, go ahead. Go ahead, doctor.
Okay, herbs work on the basis of energy frequency. And what most herbologists do is try to match the frequency of the herb to the natural resonant frequency of the organ and thereby balancing the organ when it's out of resonance. What we found is that oxygen has no frequency. And when it enters an organ, it automatically balances that organ. And therefore, what we're saying is that for therapeutic purposes, herbs are obsolete. What we work with is oxygen therapy. For dietary purposes, enhancement of the diet, providing the nutrients and so forth, herbs are a very good adjunct to what we're doing. But for therapeutic purposes, all we need is oxygen, and we get that for free.
Okay, my last question is, would you agree with me that the HIV virus is not the cause of AIDS? I believe it was Dr. Warburg that proposed it was syphilis, that it was a form of tertiary syphilis, or maybe someone got that out of his series later on. He probably wasn't around for AIDS, right? He missed it, but...
Well, what really happened, you see, is the syphilis virus, or the HIV virus, or any other virus, cannot find a fertile ground in order to take hold in the body unless we reduce the oxygen pressures in the cells. As long as there's sufficient oxygen in the cells to keep our white blood cells working, then we can't get sick. We can't get any kind of virus.
How's that, Tony? All right, I can see that. All right, very good, doctor. Very, very good. Dr. Tom Smith is my guest. And let's go over to, where are we going from here? How about Van Nuys? Van Nuys, for a first time, a brand new member caller. Welcome to Van Nuys. And there's Jeff. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, fantastic show.
Thank you, sir.
Hey, I have a couple of questions. And I think the listeners would like to know about perhaps a book to read or a specific program or where to send away for a tape. And my specific question is, you say deep breathing is the best way to oxygenate. Now, when you exercise, you deep breathe, or are you talking about just sitting there deep breathing? To hold the inhalation, because you say it's during the inhalation that the immune system, the lymphatic system just goes crazy.
Yes, to answer your first question first, the International Academy of Lymphology has produced a complete home study course on the lymphatic system. A book called The Golden 7+1, authored by Dr. Samuel West in 1981. In addition to, on your second question, deep breathing can be performed anytime. As I've had people come into my clinic, the first question I ask them is, are you a deep breather or a shallow breather? And I find out invariably they're a shallow breather, which tells me that they're hardly getting enough oxygen to support life, let alone keep the body healthy. So I tell people to deep breathe all the time. If you would just slowly deep breathe for 60 seconds once every hour, in a month's time, you wouldn't believe the difference in your energy level.
That makes all the sense. Boy, it's making more sense.
But we also find Dr. Olszewski in Poland discovered that stroking, light, fast stroking, also moves lymphatics. Now, the Russian athletes, for example, the first thing they did when they wanted to start winning all the gold medals was throw the medical doctors out. They brought in the agronomist and the nutritionist and the herbologist, and they found that using the fingertip and very rapidly stroking the body over a t-shirt and shorts would give them much faster response in tuning the body than deep muscle massage like we use. And we also find that Dr. Zelikowski in Israel did 2 years worth of research on a mini trampoline, and he found that bouncing on a mini trampoline bioelectrically will activate lymphatics. And then, of course, we know that electricity will activate lymphatics. So those are the four major ways that we keep the body healthy. It costs us absolutely nothing to breathe. It costs us absolutely nothing to stroke our body. It costs us absolutely nothing to bounce on a mini trampoline. Our thought wave is electrical, and by learning how to control that through a technique called directed thinking, it's absolutely free to use electrical energy.
What I'm saying is the cure for
every disease known to man costs us not one penny, not one dime. It's absolutely free.
Jeff, you asked a lot of questions. He answered every single one for you. How's that?
Okay. Can you just elaborate on the directed thinking, where you can read about that?
Say again?
The directed thinking?
Well, it's a specialized technique that we, Dr. West and I just recently figured out a way to make that even more powerful. We were called over to London, that lady over there that had cancer of the breast. And they took the breast off, then the cancer come back, they took it out, it went to her liver. They gave her 30 days to live. They called us when the 30 days were up. We went over there, we had three doctors examine her, all three of them says when they get that point, they die.
Hmm.
We went to work on her using stroking and directed thinking and deep breathing. In 5 days, medically confirmed, she was in remission, and by the 9th day, she got up and bounced 700 times on the mini trampoline.
Jeff, isn't that beautiful information? Isn't that great? Now you can pass that on to your friends in Van Nuys.
But what is this directed thinking? Where can you read about it?
Well, it's a little difficult to explain in about 2 minutes.
No. His question is, where can you read about it?
Oh, we've got that. What you have to do is, should I go ahead and give him the phone number this early in the show?
Yeah, it's the top of the hour. I'll let you do it at the top of the hour. Sure, go right ahead.
Oh, okay. To contact me personally, people want to have their phone number, their pencils ready. My personal phone number is 801-628-7897. For literature and information, you can either contact myself or you can contact the International Academy of Lymphology. That's the IAL, P.O. Box 351, Department 102. In Orem, O-R-E-M, Utah, 84059. And the phone number at the Academy is 801-226-0123, extension 102.
How's that, Jeff?
Thank you so much. Thank you very much.
Jeff, thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.
Take care, guys. Bye-bye. Dr. Smith, hang in there. We have a couple of massages. And a little station ID, and we'll get back to you. It's been...
You talked about the diseases being related to low oxygen pressure in the tissue of the body, correct?
Well, what we're talking about is the cellular fluid.
The cellular fluid?
Yes, the interstitial fluid.
Okay. Now, does this have any relationship to people with... cancer, also having a high sugar intake in their diet?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You see, if the lymphatic system doesn't purify the cellular fluid, then we literally end up with a swamp in the body.
See.
You know, a swamp is caused by stagnant fluids.
Mm-hmm.
And these fluids sit in the spaces around the cells. And as the water comes out to feed the cells from the bloodstream, not all of it gets back into the bloodstream. Some of it stays there. And so we get an accumulation of water,
yes,
dead cells, byproducts of metabolism, you know, whatever else wants to accumulate there, microorganisms, disease-causing microorganisms, and so forth.
Okay.
And when that reaches a given point in the body, then it blocks the flow. It slams the door shut so no more fluid can get through the capillary wall. It puts pressure on the outside of the capillary wall. When it does this, now the oxygen can't get through, and we end up with stagnant water that's full of junk. And many people refer to that as mucus. And when we activate the lymphatic system, then the lymphatic system pulls all of this stuff out, takes it up through what everybody calls the lymph nodes or lymph glands, which is all most people know about lymphatics. And there it's neutralized by macrophages and lymphocytes, which are our white blood cells.
Okay.
Now, from there it goes up through the lymphatic system and enters the bloodstream at the subclavian vein right below our shoulder blade, and then it's eliminated body from the body by the liver and kidneys.
Okay. Now that brings me to the next part of my question. Now, doesn't the liver convert alcohol to sugar?
Yes, it does.
Okay, now, that might explain the connection between people who consume a lot of beer and alcohol and cancer.
That's right.
Okay. All right. Next thing I want to ask you is a little more specific. Now, I was recently told by someone who claims they got this from a source in the CIA that many different kinds of viruses, including the AIDS virus, are vulnerable to a higher level of oxygen in the body. And that one of the ways that a person with any kind of viral infection, including AIDS, could clean that out of the system was by consuming a mixture of 8 ounces of distilled water mixed with 2 tablespoons of a 35% solution of food-grade hydrogen peroxide. It's something that you can get at just about any health food store. And also the use of organic germanium tablets, that this would actually raise the oxygen pressure in the fluids that you speak about, and that the viruses are not able to survive in the blood in this kind of with these added components added to the system. Now, have you heard anything about that? Do you know anything about that?
Well, there's a lot of controversy about hydrogen peroxide. Some people say it's good, other people say it's not so good. I've been doing a lot of reading on hydrogen peroxide, and I find that there's a lot of research on both sides of the fence, you know, as to whether or not hydrogen peroxide works.
Well, the quote that I got from this individual was that if you were to drink 2 8-ounce glasses of this mixture each day for 2 months, and you happen to have AIDS, that it would destroy the AIDS virus in your system. And by increasing the oxygen level between the systems so the virus could not migrate and infect new cells, and by additionally taking the germanium tablets, you would be able to, the oxygen would be able to penetrate the cellular tissue as well and destroy the viruses while they were starting to replicate in the cell.
Well, you know, it's a lot easier to learn to breathe deep because that's free.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it.
All right, Mark. The hydrogen peroxide, just drinking the hydrogen peroxide isn't going to activate the lymphatic system and purify the cellular fluid, so there's some place for the oxygen to go.
Well, I'm so
now, you know, putting the oxygen into the bloodstream is going to help purify the viruses and so forth that are traveling in the bloodstream.
That's great.
But unless we activate lymphatics, we're not going to purify that cellular fluid. There's no other mechanism in the body that will purify the cellular fluid except for the lymphatic system.
All right. How's that, Mark?
I'm really glad he's on your program.
I am, too.
This is fantastic.
Oh, good guy.
Thank you very much.
And you passed the word down in L.A.
Oh, I bet.
So you tell the media that they can contact me at my office, and we'll get Dr. Tom Smith on any national television program. You understand that, Mark? It is now time. It is no more time. We cannot let this thing go down. We started this thing about, what, 2 or 3 months ago. We had Dr. Smith on with Dr. West. We had the American Cancer Society on. The Cancer Control Society was on. Another society down in the San Diego area. We had them all on, didn't we? Now it's time. It's all over. There is no more dancing. The dance is over.
I think
really?
So. It's
yeah. Okay, guy. Take care. Thank you, Mark.
Okay.
Yes, doctor. Go ahead, doctor.
Can I just suggest that right now, well, in 1983, one out of five died with cancer.
Oh, boy.
In 1986, it nearly doubled to one out of three.
Yeah.
Today, they're talking one out of two.
Oh, boy.
And the National Cancer Research Council says by the year 2000, we're talking 9.8 out of 10.
So you're saying either you or me.
Dying with with either cancer or heart disease.
What I'm hearing you say is either you or me.
That's right.
One out of two. That's what it comes down to, folks. Or either you, the caller coming in right now, or me.
That's right.
I mean, that's what it comes down to. And I agree with you, by the way. And I think it's possible because, let's face it, I have one question, doctor.
Yeah.
You say deep breathing. But is that not difficult to deeply breathe in this pollutant air? I mean, how can we go out there and go, ah, it's great to breathe this air. What do you do now? I mean,
well, you get out of Los Angeles.
Forget Los Angeles. How about Las Vegas?
Yeah, I've been down to Las Vegas.
Oh,
you know, I'm
man.
Only about an hour and a half from where you live,
right.
Where you're at.
Right, right. So what you're saying is the cities are a problem, too.
Absolutely.
How about these new units that are coming out with negative ions, and they purify the air? Are they good?
Yeah.
Oh, great.
Yeah, anything that'll keep the air clean.
That's right.
Is, you know, better than what you're breathing now.
That is for sure. Dr. Smith.
The interesting thing is even if we have to breathe polluted air, if we keep our bodies loaded with a sufficient amount of oxygen.
Right.
Then it'll purify some of that junk
right.
that comes in through the air. Now, another interesting thing is that, you know, air molecules will occupy a certain amount of area, say 1 cubic centimeter.
Right.
Okay. And if that air is pure, we've got X number of oxygen molecules in that air. In the wintertime, when we get a lot of moisture in the air, then they displace some of the oxygen.
Okay.
So each breath of air gives us less oxygen.
Every breath of air that we breathe, what does that
mean? And when we replace some of those molecules with pollutants, now we get even less oxygen.
That's right.
And if we happen to be a shallow breather on top of that, then we're really in trouble.
How about giving us an example, and I'm sure you can do it with a telephone if you're listening out there, and this is going to be on tape. Give us an example of someone who would shallow breathe.
Everybody.
Breathe shallow. Okay. How does it sound? Just regular breathing like we do?
Yeah.
How about me when I'm diaphragmatically breathing? Is that...
That's a deeper form of breathing.
That's a deeper form of breathing.
Yeah,
okay.
What we're talking about is filling the lungs clear full.
Right.
And not just partially full. Now, the people that really, really are notorious for shallow breathing are pregnant women.
Oh, I see. And they need it more, probably.
They need it more because they got to breathe for the baby,
That's
too.
That's right. Okay, Dr. Smith, let's go out to Hollywood. We have Alan waiting to talk with you. He says he has an interesting question. He's a brand new member. Hello, Alan. Alan, are you there? No, he says, I am not going to wait any longer. Well, I'm sorry, Alan.
So, Mexico, and there's Francisco down there deeply breathing.
Hello, Francisco.
Hi.
How are you tonight?
Fine.
Good. Are we coming in nice and clear in Mexico?
No, this is close to the border.
Okay.
I'm not exactly in Mexico. I'm
okay.
In the U.S.
I know you mean Coachella.
Yeah.
All right. Very good. You have a question for the doctor.
Yes, I have a question that I've been having asthma for more than 2 years, and I don't know if this thing has to do with the breathing or the air that we have around the atmosphere that we have here around, but I've gone to the doctor and the doctor only gives me pills and as long as if I wait one day drinking it, I mean taking the pill, I will be back again in the asthma attack.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to use that kind of a Vampolin or something.
On the asthma, you really have to get on the trampoline now. Before I got into this science, I had real, real bad hay fever in about May and June of every year. And I found that about when my nose gets all stuffed up from hay fever, it takes me about 20 or 30 bounces to clean it out. See, what the asthma is really nothing more than stagnant lymphatics in the bronchial area. And instead of the body moving the fluids out through the lymphatic system is kicking it out through the bronchial tubes, and it plugs up the lungs and the bronchial tubes and the sinuses, etc., and makes it really difficult to breathe. What you really need to do is contact me so I can spend about 30 minutes with you and, you know, teach you how to combat that problem.
That's good. Can I have the phone number or the address?
Yes, you'll be giving that out right at the top of the hour, Francisco, so you'll be standing by for that, okay?
Yes, I'll be hearing it.
Okay, thank you much.
Gracias. Adios.
Gracias to you, sir. All right, bye-bye. That's nice to have people listening to us. You know, we're all over the West Coast, obviously. You can tell by the callers coming in. We have Malibu listening in L.A. and Beverly Hills and all over the place. But what is most important is now there are people out there that can't even get through. And I hope the ones out there that haven't been able to get through are making notes and that you'll follow up on this. And I really sincerely hope that you'll get your media, your local media, involved with this. This is a very, very important topic. It really could revolutionize mankind. The whole idea of just realizing, deeply breathe, stroke, and get yourself a little trampoline is all we need to keep ourselves healthy. I mean, how difficult can things be?
Well, it saved me thousands and thousands of dollars in Dr. Bell's. I've got six children.
Yeah.
They range in age from 4 years, well, almost 5 years old,
right.
23.
Right.
And we use this stuff on a daily basis around here. My kids burn their fingers. My 10-year-old, again, touched the hot stove, burned his two fingers. 15 minutes, the pain is gone. 3 hours, there's not a sign of a burn, totally healed. You know, there's not a burn specialist in the world that can do that.
That's for sure.
When I was over in London, or over in Belgium, I had a lady that had a lump in her breast about the size of a golf ball.
Mm-hmm.
Took us about 30 minutes to dissolve it. Trevo's free.
It must make you feel good, too, that you're helping people.
Oh, let me tell you what. This is the greatest science in the world. There's nothing even close to it. This course that we have, we ask a, $300 donation or
right.
something like that. But
right.
video number five is worth over $50,000.
Sure.
You know, there's not a chiropractor in the world that can put his own back in place. I've taught hundreds of people how to do it. Dr. West has taught thousands of people how to put their own back in place. Eliminate lower back pain. It only takes maybe 15 or 20 seconds.
All right, Dr. Smith, let's take a little break for some massages. Gentle Ben has been waiting very, very patiently out there. Hi, Gentle Ben.
Howdy.
How you doing?
A lot of my questions were answered. One question that I didn't hear come up yet was with regards to weight control. What connections are there?
Did you hear that, Dr. Smith?
Well, I didn't quite catch the question. He needs to talk just a little bit louder.
What connections are there with respect to weight control?
Weight control, okay. Water weighs 8 pounds per gallon. Okay. You store 10 gallons of excess water in the spaces around your cells, and there's an extra 80 pounds of weight. See, you activate your lymphatic system. I had a lady come into my clinic here about 6 weeks ago that was complaining of manic depression. I taught her how to activate her lymphatic system, give her about an hour and a half treatment. She walked out of there, and she hasn't had a drop of lithium since. She's had absolutely no manic depressive incidents. And she lost 25 pounds of water in the first 2 or 3 days.
I think
that it was coming out everywhere.
That stands without speaking, then.
Okay, gentlemen.
All right, thank you.
You get all your and you get all the other answers to the questions you were going to ask. Isn't that beautiful? People were tuned into you,
I think. You know, Billy.
Yes.
If one could rank it on a scale slightly more technical, how seriously are we becoming taxed, especially with the loss of the rainforest? Did anybody have measurements back in the early days? And just where do we stand on a scale these days on the oxygen level? Because so many people are dying.
Absolutely.
Yes, the Bilderbergs would like to get rid of a lot of people, and so it's understandable that they wouldn't tell us to.
But we're fighting.
Let me put it this
we're
way.
Fighting we're fighting them.
We're dying at the rate of 5,000 people per day from disease to rid of lower back pain.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, usually lower back pain, I find in about 90% of the cases, lower back pain is not only associated with the pelvis being out of alignment, but also there's gallbladder problems. Usually when you correct one, you correct the other. And the technique for putting your back in place is very simple. Place the hands on the hips, in the back. So the palm of the hand is right on your back, right about where your kidneys are. And then you stroke from high up by the kidneys down to the bottom of the buttocks with one hand 7 times, and then put the hand back on the hip, stroke the other side 7 times, put the hand back on the hip, and then go down the middle 7 times. And that'll put the pelvis back into alignment. Now, in order to keep it there, you may have to repeat that technique every 5 minutes for the first 5 or 6 times, and then every 10 minutes for the next 5 or 6 times, and then every 30 minutes for the rest of the day. And if you get up the next morning and the problem persists, just simply repeat the procedure.
All right.
And in every case, it worked 100% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
What we find is not that the science fails, but that the people's application of the science is what fails.
Okay.
And the biggest thing is most people don't stay with it long enough to get the desired result.
Yeah, that's
right. They try it 3 or 4 times, say, oh, this ain't going to work, and they quit.
All right. We don't want to do that. Keep it going. Betty and Bellflower will be talking with you momentarily, but first we have to go out to Wayne in Idaho. Wayne out there in Idaho. Hello, Wayne.
Hello, Billy.
Are you ready for Dr. Tom Schmidt? He's ready for you.
Yeah. Okay. Am I on, Billy?
You are on the air everywhere.
Oh, okay. Dr. Smith, my mother just came down with breast cancer.
Mm-hmm.
The doctors are wanting, and they're doing chemotherapy. She's supposed to go through 3 chemotherapy treatments.
Mm-hmm.
She's already had one. She's got 2 to go, and then they want to operate on her and then give her chemotherapy again.
Mm-hmm.
Is there, and this don't sound good to me, is there anything else that can be done?
Oh, absolutely. There's a lot that can be done. Does she have lumps in her breast?
Yes, about the size of a hen egg.
Okay, what you need to do is either give myself or Dr. West a call off the air, and we will explain you the technique used for dissolving breast lumps.
Okay.
We're dissolving breast lumps, so like I say, I had one about the size of a golf ball that took me about 30 minutes.
Boy.
Over in Antwerp, Belgium.
Wayne, wouldn't this be a wonderful...
I had a lady here in St. George that had a tumor on her wrist. It's probably about the size of a quarter, maybe half an inch high. It took us about 5 minutes to dissolve it, and then I taught her what to do to if it come back. And she says it come back twice that day, and within 24 hours, by the second day, it didn't come back at all. Saved her a whole bunch of surgery.
Boy, that's remarkable.
You have to have a partner to do it, okay?
Okay.
What you do is you touch the left finger, the fingers of your left hand, to the fingers of your partner's left hand. So you have left hand to left hand, okay?
Yes.
And then you take the lump between the thumb and the first finger of the right hand, wrap the other 3 fingers around it if it's that large. If it's not, just push on it. If it's a small lump, just push on it with the right index finger. And then you have your partner put the palm of his hand on the back of your hand. And you just apply a slight pressure and just stay with it until the lump dissolves. Now, the only thing I have not had success with that technique is fatty tissue lumps. And they're virtually pain-free anyway. But if there's any kind of pain in the lump, that shows lack of oxygen, and this little technique will dissolve it. Sometimes it'll do it in 30 seconds, other times it takes 2 or 3 minutes, depending on the amount of water. See, the lump or the swelling is created by excess fluid in the tissue spaces.
Yes.
And the lymphatic system has to move that out. And what we're doing is applying electrical energy with this technique to that particular point, and it activates the lymphatics and moves that fluid out.
Well, that sounds good. Now, what about on the wrist?
On the what?
It's the left wrist. Do you have a similar thing on the left wrist?
Okay, when it's on one of the hands, then you have to get 2 people. See, they have to apply the technique to you because you can't. Now, on the left wrist, you could probably be all right. On the right wrist, you'd have to have somebody else apply the technique to you.
But you can.
On the left
the right wrist,
you can just reach over and take a hold of that with your fingers, and hang on to somebody else's fingers. It's got to be left hand to left hand, right hand to right hand.
And that's the energy field.
That's called the bioelectric pinpoint technique. It's one of the most powerful pain relief techniques that's ever been created.
Again, doctor.
Say hey, bye.
Good night. By the way, folks, if you'd like a copy of tonight's Billy Goodman Happening, and I cannot think for the life of me why you would not want a copy of tonight's Billy Goodman Happening, especially if you have a loved one who suffer from any certain disease, anything at all, let them hear this with their own ears. Really, they deserve the opportunity to hear what you heard this morning. You were chosen because you tuned into the Billy Goodman Happening to hear what you heard. You keep in mind there are millions and millions out there who did not hear anything that you heard tonight. So you have to be the messenger. You have to pass it on. You have to save lives. You can do it now. And as Dr. Tom Smith said, he is simply a messenger from the God above us all, up there in the universe. And you are going to be a messenger from the God above us all, too, just like I am. Remind you, tomorrow night, that our guest will be Ron Erol. And Ron will be here to talk about weather wars. Weather wars, folks, they are going on. Can a thunderstorm literally be created? Find out tomorrow.
Oxygen.
I got to tell you a little story. We had a guest on, Linda Runyon, and people are still writing to me about her. She was talking about edible weeds.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everything out there is just about edible. If it's not
anything that's green.
Right.
Anything that's green will put carbon dioxide in the body and facilitate the transfer of oxygen.
Isn't that wonderful? Yesterday I was sitting up at the by the pool up at the Hilton with M. Gorman Water, and there was this little like a garden. It looked like a garden, but there were greens and things. And he looked over and he says, "Boy, doesn't that look delicious?"
Yeah.
I says, "What?" Because he was referring back to the happening we had with the with Linda Runyon, and she was describing this stuff. Edible weeds, amazing stuff.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah, you know, apples, for example, for every molecule of apple that goes in your body, it's got four atomic oxygen molecules attached to it.
Atomic oxygen, in other words, they boom in
it's
your system.
It's called nascent or free oxygen, and as soon as the body starts digesting the apple, the free oxygen is broken loose.
Wow.
And that is the bloodstream.
An apple a day keeps the doctor away.
And it goes into the body without the dangerous effects of hydrogen peroxide.
I love it. So it takes the place. I love an apple.
Now, the more acid the apple is, the more acid the apple is, the more oxygen it's got.
Oh, right. Remember that. Have an apple tonight, folks.
So, you know, things like Granny Smith and these types of apples.
How about the delicious apples?
The delicious apple is not quite as, it's more of a sugary apple.
Oh, throw it away, Billy, when I get home.
My
favorite apple, now I have to throw it away.
Is the Granny Smith.
Okay, the Granny Smith. Dr. Tom, because she's got the same last name as you, I know where you're at. Dr. Tom Smith is my guest, and let's go out to Malibu. Is it Malibu? I believe it is. It's Malibu, and out there we find Keith. Hi, Keith.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Since my phone line is low, like you said, maybe I should just ask the question.
He's going to have to talk a little louder.
Well, he can't hear you either. No one can hear you, yeah. I'll have to repeat for you, and then you'll have to hang up. Yes, go ahead.
Okay, I wanted to know, number one, a little while ago, I had something happen in my eye, and it cut off the blood flow through some of the capillaries, and I lost a small portion of sight in my eye. Now, I was told that the oxygen had been depleted to the cells, and that the retinal tissue in the eye, and also in the brain, after about 50 or 55 minutes, would die.
Wait, hold on a second. Can you hear? Oh, hold on a second. Keith!
Well,
Keith! Listen to this guy. He can't even hear me. He's not listening.
Revived from that.
Do you believe this?
Up to a month. So she sent me to a hospital.
Wow.
I was treated.
I can't hear.
Hyperbaric oxygenation chamber. I was taken down to about.
Dr. Smith, can you hear him?
Atmospheric pressure.
Can you respond to this? If not, I have to cut him off.
An hour and then one.
He's not listening to us, obviously.
It didn't work, but I was wondering if the doctor had any information as to the regeneration of tissue, either retinal or brain, the ones that aren't supposed to be able to regenerate. And secondly, I was wondering if he could explain how we could get rid of that low back pain that he was talking about.
Okay, doctor, you hear any of that, though?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, thanks for the call, Keith.
I didn't hear the first part.
A retinal eye problem that said it was a lack of oxygen. Thanks for the call, Keith.
Yeah, what he's asking about, regenerate brain tissue, and the answer is yes.
Okay.
And the second question he asked is how to get rid of lower back pain.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, usually lower back pain, I find that about 90% of the cases, lower back pain is not only associated with the pelvis being out of alignment, but also there's gallbladder problems. Usually, when you correct one, you correct the other. And the technique for putting your back in place is very simple. Place the hands on the hips in the back. So the palm of the hand is right on your back, right about where your kidneys are. And then you stroke from high up by the kidneys down to the bottom of the buttocks with one hand 7 times, and then put the hand back on the hip, stroke the other side 7 times, put the hand back on the hip, and then go down the middle 7 times. And that'll put the pelvis back into alignment. Now, in order to keep it there, you may have to repeat that technique every 5 minutes for the first 5 or 6 times, and then every 10 minutes for the next 5 or 6 times, and then every 30 minutes for the rest of the day. And if you get up the next morning and the problem persists, just simply repeat the procedure.
All right.
And in every case, it worked 100% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
What we find is not that the science fails, but that the people's application of the science is what fails.
Okay.
And the biggest thing is most people don't stay with it long enough to get the desired result.
Yeah, that's right.
They try it 3 or 4 times, say, oh, this ain't going to work, and they quit.
Right. We don't want to do that. Keep it going. Betty and Bellflower will be talking with you momentarily, but first we have to go out to Wayne in Idaho. Wayne out there in Idaho. Hello, Wayne.
Hello, Billy.
Are you ready for Dr. Tom Smith? He's ready for you.
Yeah. Okay. Am I on, Billy?
You are on the air everywhere.
Oh, okay. Dr. Smith, my mother just came down with breast cancer.
Mm-hmm.
The doctors are they're doing chemotherapy. She's supposed to go through three chemotherapy treatments.
Mm-hmm.
She's already had one. She's got two to go, and then they want to operate on her and then give her chemotherapy again.
Mm-hmm.
Is there, and this don't sound good to me, is there anything else that can be done?
Oh, absolutely. There's a lot that can be done. Does she have lumps in her breast?
Yes, about the size of a hen egg.
Okay, what you need to do is either give myself or Dr. West a call off the air, and we will explain you the technique used for dissolving breast lumps.
Okay.
We're dissolving breast lumps, like I say, I had one about the size of a golf ball that took me about 30 minutes.
Boy.
Over in Antwerp, Belgium.
Wayne, wouldn't this be a wonderful...
I had a lady here in St. George that had a tumor on her wrist that was probably about the size of a quarter, maybe half an inch high. Took about 5 minutes to dissolve it, and then I taught her what to do to if it come back. And she says it come back twice that day, and within 24 hours, by the second day, it didn't come back at all. Saved her a whole bunch of surgery.
Boy, that's remarkable.
But these techniques, we've been teaching them for 14 years. We've helped literally thousands and thousands of people. The International Society of Lymphology, which, as I mentioned, is composed of 400 of the top medical research doctors in the world, has endorsed our science. And we've got 2 court decisions that say that we're legal and lawful to practice this science without a license.
Oh, boy, that sounds great.
So, we're the only natural healing art that has the endorsement of the medical profession. Every medical professional, without question, that I've discussed this science with has told me you're absolutely correct. But if we teach it, we'll lose our license.
That's right.
So you go out and teach it because we can't.
How's that, Wayne?
As recent as a week ago, the Utah State Medical Licensing
mm-hmm.
Board and the Medical Practices Division says, hey, if you want to go out and teach that stuff, we can't stop you.
All right. So, Wayne, do you have their number?
I've got this all on tape. I left the tape on.
Terrific. Okay.
The radio is fouling up a little bit here.
All right.
But anyhow.
Well, he will give the number again at the top of the hour. So you stand by for that. Get that information and you call him first thing tomorrow. And let's start. And let's save your mother.
Yeah.
And then you report to us, please.
I'll
do it. You be the first case. You're the number one case for us now on the air, on the happening, because you it was just diagnosed recently, right?
Yes, about 2 weeks ago.
Okay, so this is going to be something.
We'd like to get to them before the doctor.
That's right. So we're going to get into this thing. I want to update on it as it goes along. Okay, Wayne?
I'll certainly do it, Billy.
Thank you very much.
You were on the air earlier. You know, we're an hour later than you are.
Oh, boy, it's like 3 o'clock where you are, huh?
Yes.
Yeah, right.
It's 3 o'clock where I am, too.
But, it, you know, time, sometimes you have to adjust time. You know,
that's true.
if it's important enough. And I think we're better off where we are right now than if we had been on from 10 o'clock. Because eventually, I'm going to tell you something, there's going to be a lot of sports on this radio station, and we would have run into that problem. Here, when no one's bothering us, we can really talk a lot freer, and there are people out there. It's even a better time, because people are more relaxed. It's working out beautifully, I think, Wayne. And I just please keep us informed. This is going to be the first case we're going to watch all the way. We're going to save your mother's life.
Well, I'll certainly keep you informed, and thank you very much.
Thank you, Wayne.
I will give you a call tomorrow. Okay.
All right. He'll give you the number. Everybody else, stand by. Get yourself a pen and a piece of paper. Make sure you stand by at the top of the hour. Dr. Tom Smith will give you his phone number and mailing address and whatever else you need. And by, we have some toll-free numbers for you if you'd like to call in tonight. 800-876-KVEG. That's 800-876-KVEG. Let's go on out to Bellflower. Yeah, Bellflower, I think it is. Betty in Bellflower. I think that is that Betty out there in Bellflower? It is Betty. Hi, Betty.
Hi.
Hi.
Bellflower is in California.
Yeah, right.
I had a tumor in the parotid gland, which I had removed. And before that at work, I had an extreme amount of stress. I heard the doctor mention stress, and I'm still at my same job. It concerns me about whether I should quit or not, but my doctors don't comment about stress, and I continue to go.
The doctor, you want to respond?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was just wondering, is that your question? Should you continue to go?
Well, I continue to go to my doctors. And I continue at my same job, but I really think that perhaps this was caused from stress. Am I wrong?
No, you're right.
Well, I heard you mention it on the radio about a little while ago.
You see, what happens is stress will cause the capillaries to dilate.
Mm-hmm.
When the capillaries dilate, the little holes in them get larger, and it's kind of like opening the floodgates.
I see.
Now, you see, the shark research was buried about 1961 or 62.
Mm-hmm.
During the 50s, all of the shark research was even published in the encyclopedias.
I see.
But you cannot find anything on hypoalbumania in any book anywhere. Hypoalbumania is what we call shock. Stress is a mild form of shock. It allows the capillaries to dilate, the water comes out, the plasma proteins come out, they all get stuck in the cellular spaces,
I see.
And it shuts down the oxygen flow to the cell. And we feel a letdown feeling. Because when the life process of the cell generates the electricity, and our bodies and our energy levels are determined by the amount of electricity that's being generated. When we alter these electrical fields in the body, then it robs us of our energy.
So it does make a difference with all the stress that you go through.
Oh, yeah. Now let me throw something else to you. When we ridicule, criticize, condemn, find fault, cast blame. When we fight, argue, and quarrel.
Yes.
See, when we ridicule, criticize, condemn, find fault, or cast blame, that causes stress on another person's body. That lets the water out, shuts down the oxygen, and that's potential murder.
Oh, my.
When we fight, argue, and quarrel, or when we hold anger, feelings of anger, or grudges, in our own body. That creates stress on our body. That lets the water out, shuts off the oxygen, and that's potential suicide.
Oh, dear. That sounds like quite a background, doesn't it?
That really is. That really is.
Oh, that's very interesting.
Those are the mental laws of health.
You know, I can vouch for that. A writer by the name of Louise Hay wrote a book called You Can Heal Your Life. And everything he's talking about was brought up in that book.
How interesting.
Every single thing you just said, doctor, and it caused cancer for her, and she literally solved her cancer problem by changing her attitude.
That's right.
That's
negative
right.
Attitudes have the power to kill.
That's right.
Yes,
you know,
right.
Anger can kill.
That's right, Betty.
Well, maybe I have to change my attitude.
We all do, Betty. We all have to become more spiritual. That's why there's a scientific spiritual happening. We're all trying to get there. Thanks for your call,
I'm
Betty.
I'm trying to. Thank you very much.
Okay, my dear.
Bye.
All right, bye-bye. Okay, Dr. Tom Smith, how about telling the world out there how they can contact you if they care to, and how they can write to you if they'd like to, either by telephone or by writing to you. How can they do it?
Okay, if they want to contact me personally, they can contact me at 801-628-7897. My writing mailing address is 275 North 100 West in Washington, Utah. And the zip is 84780. Now, the academy where they get their literature from and our educational materials, they would write to the IAL, P.O. Box 351, Department 102. That's in Orem, O-R-E-M, Utah, 84059. And the number there is 801-226-0123, extension 102.
Very good. Dr. Tom Smith is my guest. Listen to The Billy Gibbon Happening on KVEG AM 840 on your radio dial with transmitting facilities in North Las Vegas, Nevada. Back with more of Dr. Tom Smith and your telephone calls after these wars. You can call Roger the Dodger. He's standing by right now, as a matter of fact, at area code 702-564-4404. 702-564-4404 for a copy of tonight's happening or any of the preceding happenings. You talk to Roger the Dodger. One line open for you right now happens to be the brand new member line. If you're listening outside the state of Nevada, give us a call. If you have never called before, special number just for you, 702-451-5655. Now let's go find out what's on Collie's mind tonight. She has a question for the good doctor.
Hello, Collie.
Hi.
Hi.
It's interesting how kind of a question that had been rolling around in my mind was sort of some of the things that you just touched on. Sometimes when I am feeling bad with my body, and I tell you what, sometimes I feel all clogged up, sinuses and pain here, pain there. I lay down and of course, I do a little meditation, and I visualize this golden light that comes through my forehead. I haven't heard, of course, I tuned in late on the energy fields that are unseen, the human energy field that we don't talk about in science. If you do any study with this, and how that might relate to the lymphatic system. But I can tell you when I visualize this golden light going through my body, it almost feels like self-hypnosis, like the whole body starts to tingle, parts of my body become numb, and I really do feel that all of a sudden certain things are energizing in the body, whether or not they are actually, I am releasing negative energies in my body, I don't know. But I wondered if you had done anything with that and if you've heard of morphogenic energy.
Okay, all right. Did you get the question, Doctor?
I believe what she's asking about is the energy levels, particularly negative energy levels. Is that correct?
I don't know what you call it. I mean, it's just a matter of semantics. Everyone has a different...
Oh, okay.
But morphogenic
Let me see if I can answer it this way, if I understand your question correctly. What we have here in the body, we have a thing called the sodium-potassium pump.
That sodium-potassium
pump rotates sodium and potassium in and out of the cell.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as that pump is working correctly, the rotation of sodium and potassium in and out of the cells generates an actual electrical current. In the laboratory, it measures about 70 millivolts of electricity generated by each cell in the body. And it takes this energy, everything in the body functions electrically. The thought waves are electrical, the muscles work electrical, the muscle stimulus is electrical, you know. The energy fields hold the minerals in balance. If we alter the energy fields, the minerals drop out of solution. If they drop in the eyes, we call it cataracts. They come out of solution, the minerals stick to the joints, we call it arthritis. They stick to the blood vessels, we call it hardening of the arteries. You know, the doctors have given names to all these different conditions. And when we deprive the cells of oxygen, we shut down the life process. This shuts down the electrical generator. Each cell in the body is an actual electrical generator, and it does have a polarity.
Yes.
It does have a polarity, and that polarity has to be correct for the cell to function correctly and produce the energy. And we do have negative energy influences in the body. Negative energy influences being those influences that will deplete our electrical energy.
Well, what would you suggest that people do to help the electrical energy in their body to make it work right?
We need to get more oxygen into the cells because those are the generators that produce the electrical energy.
And keep the sugar out of your system, right?
Well, you know, we've got... what you're talking about is the white refined sugar.
Uh-huh.
You see, it takes glucose, which is a simple sugar, plus oxygen to form the ATP. Now, you see, if we take the sugar completely away from the body, that's like taking the gasoline away from your car.
Ah.
But sugar has to be found in the presence of oxygen. It's not the sugar that causes the problem, it's the lack of oxygen. When you take the oxygen away from the sugar, then the sugar sits there and the body don't know what to do with it. And if you take any food and let it sit long enough, it'll ferment.
Right.
You take your oranges and let them sit on the kitchen counter and
right.
Then they start to ferment.
Okay, Collie?
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Bye-bye. So in other words, it's not as cut and dry as you said. I guess I misunderstood you earlier. You said less glucose, more sugar. I mean, more oxygen.
Right. What we
okay.
need to do is we need the oxygen and the glucose has to be together in order to form adenosine triphosphate, which is the energy that runs the sodium-potassium pump.
Okay, well, I'm losing you. So what are you saying then? We can eat use sugar and it's not going to affect us as much? I mean, I'm missing something here.
Okay, what I'm saying is that white refined sugar
yeah.
is not good for us. Okay,
all right.
But a sugar is a hydrocarbon.
Well, that's what I'm referring to when I say sugar. Sugar you put in the coffee and stuff like that. That's
yeah,
all bad.
Yeah, we should stay away from that.
That's what I'm referring to. Okay.
That's what we should stay away from.
All
we
right.
should get our sugars.
From the foods.
From fruits and vegetables.
Right, okay. I understand
see?
That.
And,
okay.
the more fresh we eat, uncooked, mm-hmm. the better we are.
Terrific. Okay. Where are we going next? I am totally confused because now I understand it, but boy, you had me. I thought you had changed your whole story. I said, uh-oh, now I don't know where to go from here.
did I clarify?
Yes, you did, sir. Thank
okay.
you. Dr. Tom Smith is my guest. He is in St. George, Utah, and he is probably one of the leading lymphaticists. Is that what you call yourselves?
A lymphologist
in the entire world. And he's been telling us tonight that there's no need for any of us to ever get cancer or any serious disease, just as long as we continuously, deeply breathe every once in a while, but not overdo it. You also made that clear, right?
Right.
And you can't overdo anything. Also, stroke one another, and if we can get a little trampoline and jump up and down, that's also real, real good for it. Probably better than anything else. Those three things are probably better than anything else to keep us healthy. And, you know, I love it because they're so simple.
That's the biggest problem we have with this science is the simplicity of it scares people.
Of course.
They say, hey, you know, you're trying to tell me that if I use these deep breathing techniques, it'll reverse cancer?
You're right.
You know, and they say, come on now, what, you know, are you up in the middle of the night or something?
Okay, let's go out and talk with Lisa. Yeah, Lisa, let's see what Lisa has on her mind tonight. Lisa is our editor of the Happening publication. What's going on, Lisa?
Hi, Billy.
Hi.
As you know, as we talked earlier today, we had to take my mother-in-law to the hospital early this morning.
That's right.
And what it was is that she had an emphysema attack. And she is in the hospital. She was admitted. May have her. I have two questions for you, Dr. Smith. Is number one, they have her on cortisone through IV, and we're just real skeptical about this. They won't really answer our questions about what it's going to do. And number two, I would like to know how to apply stroking to her and the amount of pressure to use.
What you need to do is give me a call. Next thing you need to do is ask your doctor what tests he's done to verify that she has a deficiency of cortisone in her body.
Okay. Well, they said they were using it as a treatment, I believe.
But you see, what they're doing is she's probably got some primarily deficiency of oxygen. And the technique that we need to use on her, we have a technique that we can use that will take emphysema patients off their oxygen tanks in 3 to 4 weeks.
She's not normally on oxygen. It's a little bit difficult to explain.
You're both talking at the same time. Okay, Lisa, you were talking while he was answering you. Okay, go ahead,
It's a little bit difficult to explain in about 2 seconds over the phone.
Yeah, right.
You know, over a radio program. But if you'd give me a call either tomorrow or Monday afternoon, I'd be glad to give you some ideas on what to do about the emphysema.
Okay, and keep in mind, Dr. Smith, when she calls you, she'll be calling you for two purposes. Everything you tell her will probably be winding up in the Happening publication next month.
Uh-huh.
She's the editor of the Happening. So remember that, Lisa. We have to get get a picture from him, too, so we can kind of do a story on him, okay?
Okay.
And you call him tomorrow. He may save your mother-in-law. You never know.
Okay.
Thanks, Lisa.
Great.
I don't save anybody.
No, you don't save anybody. They save themselves.
Let me emphasize that the science that we teach here, we claim, is God's true science on earth.
Right. You're not saving. You're just the messenger.
And all I am is the messenger. Any result the people get from the application of this science, the credit has to go to Father in Heaven.
I
am is the messenger.
That's right.
Okay. I don't take credit for anything.
Wait till you hear this next call. I mean, this is like unbelievable. She was telling me off the air. Let's see if it's as believable on the air or as wild as I thought she was saying. Hello, G.
Hello, Billy.
Yes.
It's true.
Okay, go ahead.
I taped your program. A friend of mine asked me, who is on tonight? I said, Dr. Smith, lymphologist. She said, do you mean Dr. Smith so-and-so and so? I said, yes. She said, my mother is a patient of his. I'm going to bring you over his book. So on pages 136, 207, and the golden 7+1 is your instructions for deep breathing. Now, this is what intrigues me. I have it in front of me. You say breathe 3 times. Now, I, as Lisa, am emphysemic. You breathe in through the nose, out through the mouth. You hold the third breath. It activates the lymphatic system and will also magnify thought wave. And while you hold the third breath, think of the following organs and say, old toxins out, new fluids in, old toxins out, new fluids in, wash the cells, feed the cells, and purify the cells. All right. Now, here's my problem. This is unbelievable, and I am holding the instructions to your patient in Utah in front of me, and I don't live in Utah. I live in Carlin, Nevada. How do I hold that third breath, doctor, and let me hang up and take you?
Okay,
what you do, you hold the breath and you do it as a thinking process rather than saying it out loud. Now, when I'm instructing, I say it out loud, but you want to hold the breath and think about the organ, and then direct the body through mental direction. This is what we call directed thinking. You direct the body to move the old toxins out and the new fluids in. And in the same process, it washes, it feeds, and it purifies all the cells and the cellular fluid in that particular area. Now, when you hold the breath, that activates lymphatics and drains every organ in the body.
Mm-hmm.
When we alter the electrical field, it makes all of the stuff that's in the blood, in the cellular fluid, drop out of solution and it sticks. Once it's stuck, the only way we can unstick it is with electrical energy, because it's the lack of electrical energy that makes it stick. The thought wave is electrical energy. So when we direct the thought wave to a specific organ in the body, that sends that electrical energy down there, and it dissipates all of these clusters and all of this stuff that's stuck, so that now the lymphatics can pull it out and wash it out and move it out of the body. And as the lymphatic system pulls the excess fluids out of the cell structure,
mm-hmm.
it leaves a void, an empty space.
Right.
And this literally, it creates a vacuum in there, and this literally sucks the new fluids in from the bloodstream containing oxygen and food. So we wash, we feed, and we purify in one operation.
And it sounds so simple, and that's why everybody
wants
it.
And we're literally working miracles
right.
with that technique that's so simple. Now, I have that instruction sheet she was talking about already printed up.
Okay.
And anybody that wants it, if they'll send me, you know, just a small donation.
That's all. And you can give that information.
And an SASC, I'd be glad to send them a copy of the sheet.
Yeah, we'll let you give out the information where they can send it in about another 15, 20 minutes, okay?
Okay.
Stand by with a pen and a piece of paper. He'll give you all that information. And we'll also get back to more of your telephone calls and my guest, Dr. Tom Smith, on your Billy Goodman Happening right after these massages.
This is
the only scientific spiritual happening anywhere in the entire universe. My guest tonight is Dr. Tom Smith. And Jim, you're next with my doctor. Go ahead.
Hi, Billy.
How are you doing?
Welcome back.
Thank you.
Dr. Smith, was Dr. Smith on with you before, Billy?
Yes, he was.
Did he have another partner or friend with him at that time?
Yes, he did.
When we got ran out, is that the gentleman?
Yes.
Very good. Billy, wouldn't it be fantastic if we could get a tape of this happening to every sick person in America in and out of hospital?
Well, I'm only hoping that, I just hope that people who are, you know, that may have loved ones who are not feeling all that well, they call Roger the Dodger and get one of these tapes and send it to them so that they can hear what the doctor has to say. And then also get all the information and plus his phone number and be able to contact him. And we are very definitely going to have the good Dr. Tom Smith and his compadre, Dr. West, right here in Las Vegas at a location where each and every one of you happening listeners and all of your friends, you can take your friends over and you can see the doctors in action.
Well, what a service that's going to be.
It's going to be wonderful, I think.
What
yes.
service,
Doctor, Billy?
Yes.
One other thing, and one of my goals is to set up a center here in St. George area, in Washington County area,
yeah.
where we can have people that want to travel and get personal instruction can come and get personal instruction and assistance in overcoming their health problems.
Well, really, St. George is not far from L.A. or from Las Vegas.
No, it's not. I just had a fellow come in from Lake Isabella, California.
Sure.
As a result of, you know, the last time we were on.
Right. Oh, is that right?
That's right.
Oh.
And we were able to take his cancer into remission, and he had cancer of the liver. He'd been taking chemotherapy for about 5 weeks at $2,500 a week.
You mean as one of our happening listeners that you, that...
No, he's a friend of a happening listener.
Okay, but they told him to go out there and...
Yeah, and we were able to take his cancer into remission in about 5 days.
That's beautiful.
It takes about 5 to 10 days.
Right.
Taking patients that the doctors have given up to die,
sure.
bring them into remission in about 5 to 10 days.
Sure, well, we'll have the people come over to a location and...
What we're doing is seeking donations, you know, to put this facility together.
Oh, I see.
And to operate. See, if we can operate it on donations,
mm-hmm.
then nobody will be turned away, regardless
right.
of financial circumstances. All people will have
right.
equal access to treatment.
Well, let me ask you this. Have you approached any, you know, major businessmen in the general area where you are?
No, we haven't.
Oh, I see. Well, that's probably your next move. That would be a smart move, I would assume. I'm sure they would love to be a part of something like that.
The Osmond brothers,
yeah.
approached us. They called me.
Yeah.
And I also have a contact with a fellow in Las Vegas that's going to be giving me some assistance in the financial matter.
Well, isn't that nice?
We have any of your audience, any of your listeners, care to help put this facility together or would like to come to St. George.
Right.
Right now, we're kind of archaic in our facilities. We're just operating out of our home and having people stay in motels.
Right.
Until we can get a facility that's, you know, really adequate for them. But even that, why we don't turn people away.
I understand. Jim, do you have a question for you?
Oh, yes. Billy, you exploded the UFO thing and Current Affair had it. Of course, a little late with the Current Affair. They had it this week.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to explore this also. Tom, you've got a pretty good senator in Utah, don't you?
Pretty good what?
A senator.
Senator Hatch? Yeah.
Yes, yes. Maybe you might get him interested. Maybe he might even be listening to this. It would be very, very good if one of the, of a representative from Washington was to wake up here, but I think we're going to wake up eventually. Yes, I do have a couple of questions. Dr. Douglas, the one, the doctor that wrote the book, AIDS, the Death of Civilization, he did say a couple of years ago on some of the shows that the day will come and not too long now in the future that we all have to have machines in our homes to survive. Dealing with, of course, checking the blood and then what you would do thereafter. But it seems to me, from where you're coming from, this will not be necessary. You don't need to answer that right away. Maybe you'll get a chance to do it. Especially with the trampoline, if every home was to have one, I think it would add in that direction.
And, you know, and they're very inexpensive. You know, he's talking about a small, I know the ones, a very small one, right, Doctor?
Yeah, we buy them here in St. George for $30.
That's right. I mean, it's...
Yes, and
what we're talking about is with the use of oxygen therapy, oxygenating the body by breathing,
right,
which is free, it makes virtually every herb, every homeopathic remedy, all supplements, and all machinery totally obsolete for therapeutic purposes.
Isn't that wonderful, Jim?
It's excellent. Doctor, we're very close to Mount Charleston where the air, I believe, is pure. I'd like to have a meter to check how far I would have to go to run into that. What would you recommend on just moving out and getting some of this, doing some breathing up there? How long would that last? Then come back in here. And also breathing in your home as compared to outside.
That depends on the environment inside your home.
That's for sure.
Would it last too much?
You know, the question as far as breathing is concerned, how long can you go without it?
I love it. I love it. I'm really good. Thank
how
you, Jim.
You know, people say, how often should I de-breathe? Well, my question is how long can you live without breathing?
Right. Dr. Tom Smith, fascinating happening tonight. And we have a few more callers. I mean, we have to wind this down eventually. My goodness. Von Gerken's report, we just couldn't get to it. We just could not get to the Von Gerken report. This has been so interesting and so important. And I'm not saying the Von Gerken report is not important, obviously, but we will have the Von Gerken report tomorrow night. And don't forget, my guest tomorrow night will be Ron Iro, and we're going to be talking about weather wars. Weather wars, another very important topic as we try to cover the topics that the average talk show will not touch. They won't even get involved with it. I mean, we'll have him on tomorrow night. In the meantime, we have Dr. Tom Smith, and as promised, we are going over to L.A. for a first-time caller, brand new member. His name is Ian. Hello, Ian.
Yes, hello.
Hello, sir.
Dr. Smith?
Yes.
I was wondering, I'm calling regarding a case where a person, a relative of mine, has gone through so many doctors that they really can't be counted anymore. Began as primary lateral sclerosis and developed into symptoms which appear to be Lou Gehrig's.
Mm-hmm. I've got a fellow from Michigan that's staying with me right now that has the same problem.
Excuse me?
I have a fellow from Michigan that's staying with me right now that has the same problem.
Okay.
You know, the interesting thing is We looked up in the medical encyclopedia mm-hmm. what the word sclerosis means.
Yeah.
And let's see if I can just turn to it here. Thought I had it all marked. Sclerosis means a hardening. Okay?
Yeah.
And the amyotrophic, trophic means malnourishment.
Okay.
An atrophy is a condition, according to the encyclopedia here, that's caused by improper nutrition. See, if I look at atrophy, it says a wasting due to lack of nutrition. And here's a problem. It's just like dystrophy. Dystrophy is a problem caused by nutrition, and it says so right in the book, and yet they're trying to treat a nutritional problem with drugs. See? And what we've got to do is, to reverse that, you've got to get the oxygen. You first of all got to get the body clean, and then you've got to get the oxygen turned back on.
Well, this is quite an advanced case.
Now, bear in mind that there comes a time when the door to the ark slams shut, and the body deteriorates beyond the point to where we can do anything with it. No matter what we do, we can't reverse it. But in the cancer cases, for example, that we've worked with, where the body has reached that point, we've had two people that eventually died from their cancer, even though we were working with them, but those people died virtually pain-free. There was no drugs, no morphine, no screaming, no uncomfortableness. Their passing was peaceful. It was quiet, and it was virtually pain-free, which is totally unheard of in the cancer field. So, you know, even if we can't save them, we can make their passing painless and peaceful.
Well, possibly I should call you at your private number. This is a case where the there no more speaking is able.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, we may be to the point to where, we reach the point of no return.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know. I've never come up with a method of determining, you know, when the body can no longer regenerate itself. So we just work on the assumption that they haven't reached that point yet.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Ian, for calling. Call us again now that you finally called us. Thank you very much. Dr. Tom Smith. Let's go on out to, where are we going next? Colette. Yes, Colette is out there. Let's go to Colette. Let's see what Colette is up to. Hello, Colette.
Hello.
Hello.
I would like to know how to dissolve little lumps like underneath your jawbone and like on your wrist that come after viruses. You know, they linger, these little lumps in the tissue linger. And I do the trampoline, and I do the stroking, but they're still there, and they just...
Well, there's a technique called the bioelectric pinpoint technique. And it's kind of difficult to describe over the phone, but I'll try it. You have to have a partner to do it, okay?
Okay.
But what you do is you touch the left finger, the fingers of your left hand, to the fingers of your partner's left hand. So you have left hand to left hand. Okay?
Yes.
And then you take the lump between the thumb and the first finger of the right hand, wrap the other three fingers around it if it's that large. If it's not, just push on it. If it's a small lump, just push on it with the right index finger. And then you have your partner put the palm of his hand on the back of your hand. And you just apply a slight pressure and just stay with it until the lump dissolves. Now, the only thing I have not had success with that technique is fatty tissue lumps, and they're virtually pain-free anyway. But if there's any kind of pain in the lump, that shows lack of oxygen, and this little technique will dissolve it. Sometimes it'll do it in 30 seconds, other times it takes 2 or 3 minutes, depending on the amount of water. See, the lump or the swelling is created by excess fluid in the tissue spaces.
Yes.
And the lymphatic system has to move that out. And what we're doing is applying electrical energy with this technique to that particular point. And it activates the lymphatics and moves that fluid out.
Well, that sounds good. Now, what about on the wrist?
On the what?
It's the left wrist. You have a similar thing on the left wrist.
Okay, when it's on one of the hands, then you have to get two people. See, they have to apply the technique to you because you can't... Now, on the left wrist, you could probably be all right. On the right wrist, you'd have to have somebody else apply the technique to you.
But you can
on the left
the right
wrist, you
wrist
can just reach
on.
Over and take a hold of that with your fingers and hang on to somebody else's fingers, you know. It's got to be left hand to left hand, right hand to right hand.
And that's the energy field.
That's called the bioelectric pinpoint technique. It's one of the most powerful pain relief techniques that's ever been created. Now, that's demonstrated on video number 5. It's also demonstrated in a special 35-page document that we have. It took 14 years to write this document. And it's also demonstrated, I forget the page, but it's between page, somewhere around page 206 or thereabouts in Dr. West's book.
Oh, well, that's good. I wanted to ask you about what you think about chaparral and red clover.
Yes, they're very excellent herbs. But again, oxygen is really all you need to heal the body. To rebuild the body, you need nutrients, and herbs play a very vital role in that area. I'm not an herbologist. I'm a lymphologist.
Okay.
Well, this is good. This is good news.
All right, Colette.
Thank you very
now,
much.
Now, if you have a problem with it, give me a call.
Oh, I will.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Colette.
Bye-bye.
Right. Bye-bye.
And let's go on out to Bill Cooper. Bill Cooper is joining us this evening.
Hello, Bill.
Hi, Billy.
How are you doing?
Dr. Smith.
Yes.
Years ago, I was a professional diver for quite a long period of time and ended my diving career actually as the head of the mixed gas deep saturation diving department of the College of Oceaneering. And one of the things that happened during the years that I was diving was that some medical doctors began to notice that professional divers who dove constantly all the time. I'm not talking about scuba divers who may go diving once or twice or three times during the summer, but professional divers who dove daily on a daily basis for a living just didn't get sick. And they began to come and snoop around and find out what we were doing. And what they found out is during a typical dive, a diver's breathing anywhere from 2 times to 6 times the normal partial pressure of oxygen that he breathes on the surface. And that during decompression, to prevent the bends from a long dive or a deep dive, particularly a deep dive, that when a diver reaches 60 feet in the decompression chamber for surface decompression, we would put the diver on 100% oxygen and then vary that with periods of 5 minutes of breathing air, 15 minutes of pure oxygen, until we brought them to the surface after several hours. And they began to bring patients in who had terminal diseases to see if this would help them. And I was privileged to witness some of the most remarkable cures that I've ever seen simply from breathing hyperbaric oxygen. So I can verify that what you're telling people is absolutely true. I have seen cases of terminal spinal meningitis cured by hyperbaric oxygen treatment. I've seen people who were going to have to lose limbs, who had gangrene, totally cured and resulted in their being able to keep that limb. And you could see the tissue begin to glow, and you could almost watch the healing taking place. But I have one question for you, besides that little bit of testimony that will help people understand that what you're saying is true. My mother just is getting over an operation for colon cancer. And I'm concerned about her because the doctors say that it is it's the worst type that you can have, and they told us that the cancer is in her lymph system. What would you recommend that we do?
She needs basically the same type of treatment that we use with that lady over in London. And first thing you need to do is get that deep breathing chart from me.
Okay.
You know, the one we talked about earlier.
Sure.
And you need to get her on doing that about every 10 or 15 minutes, have her go through the various organs in her body. We found that if we get the liver and the pancreas and the kidneys and the adrenal...
fine. You'd never realize that she just had a serious
problem. Okay, the tiredness, the fact that she gets tired easy shows general oxygen depletion in the cellular fluid.
Uh-huh.
So you need to get her deep breathing. I would start her out at about maybe 5 or 10 bounces at a time on the mini trampoline, doing some deep breathing with it.
Uh-huh.
Now be sure you support her with something because you don't want her to fall over and hurt herself.
Of course.
Now we've had people that have been so toxic with their bodies that they got on the trampoline, bounced 5 times and nearly passed out.
Uh-huh.
They got sick. The other thing you need to do is you need to get her on a good colon cleansing program. The lymphatics, we believe, has two channels. One area where it dumps into the bloodstream at the subclavian vein, and the other is a set of passages or ducts that go right directly from the organ to the colon.
Uh-huh.
And we believe that the reason we're getting results so fast is because the body's dumping the junk right directly in the colon. Now, if it's all plugged up, there's no place for the body to dump. So you need to get her on a good colon cleansing program. I can give you some information on that if you'd like to give me a call.
Yeah,
I don't want to talk about products over the air. But, you know, there's a number of good colon cleansers on the market, including colonics, but it's better to use a more natural cleanse rather than a colonic. Colonics, you know, last for a while, then you got to get another one. But, you know, there's some other methods that are a little better than that.
All right. Thank you, Bill Cooper. Give him a call tomorrow now.
I will.
Okay, guy.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Yeah, why don't you, right now, I'm sure everybody has their pen and their piece of paper ready. Why don't you give us those phone numbers once again, Dr. Smith, and the addresses and what's available and whatever else you want to tell us. Go ahead.
Okay. For our educational material, write to the IAL, P.O. Box 351, Department 102, Orem, O-R-E-M, Utah, 84059. And the phone number at the Academy is 801-226-0123, extension 102. If people want to contact me directly, they can call me at 801-628-7897. And for that instruction sheet, they can write to me, just send an SASE to Dr. Smith, 275 North 100 West, Washington, Utah, 84780.
Very good. I guess that covers everything then, huh?
That about does it.
Very good. And we'll get back to more of your telephone calls and my guest, Dr. Tom Smith, the more your Billy Goodman happening after these words.
State of Nevada, and you have never called a Billy Goodman happening before. This special number is just for you. And you can use it right now. It's open. 702-451-5655. My guest this morning is Dr. Tom Smith. Doctor, you've been hearing me do these deep breathing exercises, and I'm yawning. What does that mean?
Well, a yawn is another form of deep breathing.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Oh.
See, that tells when the body becomes so stagnant, it fills the lungs clear full to activate the lymphatics.
Uh-huh.
Have you ever noticed when you go on a long trip, the one that does the talking doesn't get tired?
Hmm.
If you get involved in a vigorous conversation and all of a sudden you reach your destination, neither one of you are tired.
I guess. Okay.
Well, you don't get hypnotized by the road or anything, but if you don't say anything and you sit there quietly,
yeah,
you may be a half an hour, 45 minutes, sometimes an hour into the trip, you start getting a little bit groggy.
Yeah, I guess.
Okay, when you talk, you have to deep breathe.
I see. Why am I yawning because I'm deep breathing, though? I know that's my question.
That's a good one.
Oh, okay.
That's a good one.
Well, I'm just wondering.
There's a number of reasons why we yawn. We yawn sometimes because we're bored. We yawn sometimes because the body needs just more oxygen.
So it needs more oxygen. And I'm doing all this.
Tired.
But I'm doing all this deep breathing. How much more oxygen can I give my body? In other words, I've been doing a con. You hear me between commercials go,
Yeah. So I've been doing this constantly, and all of a sudden I find myself yawning. I know I'm tired. I will go along with that, but I just thought...
I would suspect that your body's probably a little toxic.
Toxic? And what does that mean?
That means that you've got some, an accumulation of dead cells and poisons and byproducts of metabolism.
Probably so. How do I take care of that?
Keep doing it.
Okay, just keep deep breathing.
Just keep deep breathing.
Get over the yawning part and just keep deep breathing. Okay.
Yeah, and it doesn't do much good to deep breathe and clean the body out if we start putting junk back in it.
That's right. Well, I'm not putting anything in.
I tell people to shop the perimeter of the grocery store, not the middle.
I like that, the perimeter, right. And it usually is in the perimeter. You're right.
Yeah, stay out there where the fresh fruits, shop the fresh fruit and vegetables.
And the fresh fruits are usually on the right-hand side as you walk into any of these major supermarkets.
They really are.
And all the good stuff. The herbs and everything else on the way down the other end on the left-hand side.
I went into one of the local...
He's right.
I went into one of the local grocery stores down here in town, and they had a big shelf there that says health food on it.
Oh.
And the guy was over there stocking the shelf, and I said to him, well, this is health food. What's all the rest of this stuff you got in here?
Right.
He wouldn't answer me.
That's a good word, health food. All right, let's get out of Orange County. Orange County, and we find Steve. Steve is out there waiting for us. Is that who it is out there? Let me make sure I got the right guy on board. Steve on Orange County. Yep, that's Steve, all right. That's Steve. Hi, Steve. How you doing, Steve?
Good, Billy. How you doing?
I'm doing very, very well. This man here is just enlightening me with all kinds of things and making me feel good and making me realize that there's no need for me to ever catch cancer.
Yeah, I tell you, he's great is because of people like you that are not mainstream, that are telling us the truth that we need to hear that makes your show that much better. And all the people that are going to get help are going to tell their friends, and your show is going to just zoom.
I hope so.
Okay,
for their sake.
Question.
Yeah.
First, I want to report in on the phone line. It is a little fuzzy and hazy. I don't know what the other people have been saying.
Okay.
I don't know if it's a toll-free line only, and if you pay the big bucks, you get a clear line.
I don't either. No one's complaining. The first one, so let's go for it.
Right, okay. The first question is on allergies that cause asthma, like dog and horse and cat hair. Does he have any reaction, or what causes that, and does he have video number 5 explaining that or a pamphlet on that?
Well, that would be on video number 4. And also on video number 2, talking about the lymphatic system. What happens with allergies and hay fever and asthma and these types of things is we have a substance in the bloodstream called plasma protein. And the allergens are also proteins. And what they do is they irritate the capillaries and allow the fluids out into our mucous membrane. See, when we breathe them in, they go down through the sinuses and the bronchial tubes and so forth, and they irritate the capillaries in those areas and let these proteins out, and the proteins come out with the water. That causes the swelling and makes the mucous membrane tighten. And then we have to move that out by activating the lymphatic system so we can get rid of that excess fluid. And like I say, when I was... my hay fever is doing much, much better now than it was before I got on this program. But when my nose starts to swell or I get in some of these allergens, the best thing to do is avoid them. But, it's pretty hard to avoid them when the wind's kicking them up through the air, so I just stay on the trampoline and do my deep breathing, keep my lymphatic system activated. And that keeps the swelling down to a minimum so that life is at least bearable. We've had a number of cases of people with allergies that have successfully used the trampoline, along with a couple of other ideas. If you'd like to call me, I give them to you, to combat their allergies.
I see. I would imagine that if you got on a good program with all the things that you've talked about tonight, maybe you could eliminate them eventually.
Yes. You use particularly fruits and vegetables. The Predican diet's good. The Fit for Life diet is good. There's several diets. The problem I have with all these nutrition books is one guy says one thing and another guy says another thing. And I see a lot of confusion among the writers of nutrition books. And, you know, people that teach nutrition. And I don't know about the rest of the audience, but I have a hard time sorting all that stuff out. So what I tell people to do is just avoid the bad things like the coffee, the tea, the alcohol, the tobacco,
mm-hmm.
drugs. Soda pop, the only difference between soda pop and strychnine is strychnine is a little faster.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
Stephen Orange County, thank
Stay
you
away
for your
from
call.
Soda pop.
Yeah.
And go to your fresh fruits and vegetables. Vegetable juices are very, very excellent. If you own a juicer, drink lots of vegetable juice.
How about this new stuff that's coming out, like Arrowhead pure, was it orange and stuff like that? Is that good for you?
If it's pure, it's good for you.
Okay, and this other stuff like, I don't know, koala it's called. And it's got like lemon, lime, and...
Well, look at what else it's got in it, too.
Okay, what are we looking for in there?
Well, we're looking for the additives.
The additives, okay.
We're looking for the additives. The best stuff to get is the stuff you make yourself.
Right.
You know, you buy your carrots and your spinach and
right.
parsley and
uh-huh.
run it through the juicer yourself, and then you know what's in it.
All right. Well, that sounds tasty. Carrots, spinach, and parsley. Can I throw something tasty in it, like broccoli, maybe?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay,
now,
good.
I'll tell you what I like. I take 16 ounces of carrot juice,
yeah.
put 3 ounces of celery juice,
mm-hmm.
and half a lemon.
Boy, oh, boy.
Well, that and that really, really tastes good.
Boy, that sounds tasty. Let's go to dinner. Dr. Tom Smith is my guest. And let's go out to North Hollywood and talk with Chrissy. Hi, Chrissy.
Hi, you got me yawning. Listen, I have a question for your guest and anyone else in the audience, and I'll be listening the next few nights. On a very remarkable healer in the mid-1800s by the name of Phineas Quimby. Very remarkable, an esoteric healer. Who basically his way of healing was explaining to the people that came to him, and they all had one foot in the grave, that how life started out as being pure and natural without disease.
Right.
And by letting belief, even doctors' beliefs, into your mind, you acquire these diseases. His most famous patient, who would not admit it, but it is a fact, was Mary Baker Eddy went to him. She was in a wheelchair for 20 years. In a matter of a very, very, very short time, she was walking. And if you don't know who she is, she was a very wealthy woman. Her husband was a doctor back then, and he in the 1850s, around there. And she went to him. He called wrote to Quimby. She went to him. She was also a religious person, I think. Anyway, she took his philosophy and started the Christian Scientist Church. And you know, as today Christian Scientists have less 50% less cancer and illness than regular people, and it comes directly from Phineas Quimby. Very little written about him, and I've been a student for many, many years, but I can't find anyone to talk to about this.
Well, you know, you're talking about getting people out of a wheelchair like she did her.
Yeah.
Dr. Joseph Walls at the St. Barnabas Hospital in New York City is putting electrodes down the spines of previously helpless CP, MS, and MD patients and getting them out of their wheelchair.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, that's interesting.
And Dr. Bjorn Nordstrom in Sweden was putting electrodes into the tumors and dissolving them.
Uh-huh.
So,
I understand what you're saying.
You know, the research is there. The only problem is they can't explain how and why. And this science that I have is the only science in the world that can explain the how and the why.
This is somewhat quite different. No mechanical devices.
Mm-hmm.
It was a matter of enlightening them.
Yeah. Well, what he's using is the body's own electrical energy by using staying away from the bad stuff and using directed thinking with the brain to teach the body to be healthy. The body responds to whatever directions the brain gives it.
That's basically it. He went as far as to say, don't go to doctors. Don't because you know, you hear if a flu goes around, you go to, and you feel, get a little sniffle, you go to a doctor, he says, hey, you've got the flu, let me give you something for it. And he's saying that you're buying a belief, which is not natural law. It can be changed.
Right.
And, what can I suggest?
But so is the doctor, because he's been taught.
That's right.
Give this advice of belief himself. So you're believing a belief, and he brought him back through talking only, and he had some amazing cures.
All right, Christian North Hollywood, thank you very much for your input this evening.
Yeah, thank you.
Can I suggest that perhaps part of the problem with our modern medical practice is that we, the people, ask for it. We go to a doctor, we expect him to give us a prescription.
Isn't that
if he
right?
doesn't, we keep going to a doctor till we find one that will.
Well, you know, I had a sore throat. I mean, a very, very bad sore throat. So I've had to keep me off the air for about two or three nights. And I can remember calling the pharmacist over at one of the supermarkets in the area, and I described, nothing major. That's the flu, and just come over and get yourself some Sucrets, and everything will be fine.
Mm-hmm. What I do is I take about a tablespoon of salt, put it in a glass of water, and gargle with it every 30 minutes, every hour, until the sore throat's gone.
Do you know something? You just brought something. My grandmother, God rest her soul, my grandmother used to say that all the time, too, and it used to work.
Isn't
just salt and water. I mean, it was so simple.
Isn't it interesting how the simplicity of things...
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, I'm with you on this. Believe me, 100%, and I think most of the people out there listening are really with you on this. It makes so much more sense than what we've been putting ourselves through, that it's time that we start using it. Let's go out to Irvine and see what's on Gene's mind. There's Gene. Hello, Gene.
Hi, Billy Goodman.
Yes, sir.
Tom Smith, right? That's the name?
Yes, sir.
Correct.
All right. You can hear me pretty clear?
Well, you're very weak, but I can hear you.
How about now?
A little better.
Okay. I've got a question to ask you about lupus, but... I'd like to go to something else right now, and I'll get off the line afterwards, and you can speculate on lupus if you would. I got this recording. Here recently, I smoke quite heavy, and I've been cutting back and been trying to stop smoking. And I did something with a ion generator, because I knew some things about ion generation, and my dad and I had worked with many years ago. And I tried something with an ion generator. It's a small device, and I pumped air in past this and started breathing it directly as the ions leave the end of the tube. And I pulled in quite a bit of air, but I noticed in the morning when I got up that I was much clearer in my head. I wasn't dizzy anymore, and everything seemed to go away. Are you still there?
Yes.
Oh, okay. And I felt better, and my breathing was better and everything. A number of years ago, I fell through a ceiling, and I had two industrial accidents. Another one, I slipped on a step, and I had wrenched my fifth disc, lower lumbar.
Mm-hmm.
And I had gotten my health back because of deep breathing that I had learned from yoga. And I got my health back because of that. But then
gee, what more can I say?
Everything
you said it all.
And I've been doing this for a number of years and trying to get my health back, and it seems to work. So it's proven what you're saying is correct. The ion generator, it's so to speak, like it helped me. It's just merely an aid, but it's mostly up to the person to breathe correctly and take deep breaths, like you say. They had put me on a device, I don't remember now exactly what they called it, but it analyzes your breathing. And the nurse that was operating the machine, she turned around to me and she says, you study yoga, don't you? And I said, yeah, I do. And she described, well, this machine can detect that you deep breathe. If you can speculate on that machine that they used, if you know anything about it.
Well, you know, I think you're listening to this guy tonight, Gene. He's told you to deep breathe.
The machine tells you to deep breathe into the machine.
Yeah, what do you need the machine for?
What do you need the machine for? I mean, think about it, Gene. Wake up. No, listen. He's telling you that he's telling you the very same thing. To deep breathe, right?
Right.
And the instructions with this machine, with the hold it, hold it, Gene. The instructions with this machine that you purchased told you to do the very same thing, but to do it into the machine. So isn't that true?
Uh-huh.
Well, what did you gain by that?
Well, no. What I'm saying is,
you know, you deep breathe. What do you gain by using a machine?
I've done deep breathing exercises in the past.
Except that you help line somebody else's pocket.
Yeah, in other words, what he's trying to say, you keep talking about this machine. Forget the machine. Get the machine and forget it.
Well, it was just meant to analyze me to see if my breathing was right, but I'm wondering why it was that they put that on me to see if I did that.
Well, because the machine was manufactured, they have to use it for some reason, and you were willing to breathe for them. I guess that's
they got to justify the cost of the machine.
Really?
Yeah.
Can I just address lupus for a minute?
Yeah.
Okay, I haven't had any cases of lupus, but Dr. West has had a couple of cases of lupus.
Uh-huh.
And we have a blood test that was developed by Dr. Robert Bradford down in Chula Vista that tells us how much fluid retention there is in the tissue spaces.
Uh-huh.
And we've had a couple of cases, or I should say Dr. West had a couple of cases where he was able to bring the lupus into remission or the body into the normal healthy state in about 5 minutes.
Oh, wow.
And in about 45 minutes using this blood test, lupus was back.
All right.
He brought the lady down. Then he put her in one of these magnetic beds for about 2 hours after he got her down into the healthy state. And 3 days later, she was still in the healthy state.
Oh, wow.
All right, Gene and Irvine.
So just with deep breathing only, without the use of the machine, there's not a disease that's named that we can't, if it hasn't gone beyond the point of no return, that cannot be conquered by using these techniques. Every disease known to man can be conquered.
Yeah, what I read in the books on yoga, that the oxygen is the life force of the body.
It is.
Right. And this is the way they described it.
Yeah, oxygen and enzymes.
That should tell you the whole, that's all this man has been saying since he came on tonight at midnight. Oxygen, more oxygen. Right. That's what he said about Dr. Warburg. He received a Nobel Prize of Medicine because he said lack of oxygen in the cells causes cancer and other diseases.
Yeah.
And now you're telling me yoga. So yoga was even before Dr. Warburg, before Reich's microscope, before Pasteur. It was before everybody.
Yeah.
And it was a simple matter. Breathe deeply and you'll live longer.
Yeah.
It was a book on what you call the serpent.
Huh?
And it was a doctor that went over to India and brought this book back here. And there was only about 13 of them published.
Uh-huh.
But when I read this, it was like one page on the left was in Hinduism, and the other was in English.
Yeah, but let me ask you this question, Gina. We ended with this one. Do you think if you, a doctor, and I'm talking about a doctor, that depends on sickly patients to come to his office, do you think if you went over to India and found out all you have to do is breathe deeply, and you solve all the problems? Do you think he'd want that book and bring you back here?
Well, that's what he was thinking.
Yeah. Well, good luck. Thanks for your call, Gene. Take care, buddy.
Yeah,
bye-bye.
Buddy, just one last comment.
You're still on the air, Tom.
Yeah, right. Just one last comment, and that is that the medical doctors, the hospitals, and the drug companies live very well off of our illnesses.
That's right.
It's absolutely to their advantage.
That's
to
the only way they live. They cannot live if we're well.
That's right. And so, therefore, they don't want us to get healthy because without, if we're not healthy, or if we are healthy, then they can't pay for their fancy cars. and they're literally destroying us financially by keeping us sick.
I
think it's time for that to end.
Well, Dr. Tom Smith, they may be doing this with others, but happening listeners are not being abused any longer because of you tonight.
We're also available to do demonstrations and lectures and so forth in the California area.
Okay, very good. Dr. Tom Smith, we thank you very, very much for being our guest. We'll have to get you back here again down the line because it was like 3 hours of nonstop, Everybody enjoyed it immensely. I did. I'm going to breathe deeper all the time. And, you know, I kind of heard that. And we hear it over and over and over again. When you go to a doctor, what are the first thing they do? They take out their stethoscope. Breathe deeply, please. Let's see what your problem is. Okay. In, out, in, out. Thank you very much. Oh, no, no. Now we know your problem. Lack of oxygen. Okay. And we want to thank you for being our guest. And we'll get back to you again. If anything we can do for you, you'll be hearing from me in the very near future about getting you down here in Las Vegas with your compadre, Dr. West. And we'll put something together, and we'll have people come on over, and you'll show them what you can do. And we'll hopefully we can help you with your institution that you're putting together up in the Utah area. Is there anything you want to leave us with?
Well, just breathe deep, obey the laws, and enjoy life, and have fun, and stay healthy.
All right. Thanks again, Doctor.
Okay, bye.
Good night. By the way, folks, if you'd like a copy of tonight's Billy Goodman Happening, and I cannot think for the life of me why you would not want a copy of tonight's Billy Goodman Happening, especially if you have a loved one who suffer from any certain disease, anything at all, let them hear this with their own ears. Really, they deserve the opportunity to hear what you heard this morning. You were chosen because you tuned into the Billy Goodman Happening to hear what you heard. You keep in mind there are millions and millions out there who did not hear anything that you heard tonight. So you have to be the messenger. You have to pass it on. You have to save lives. You can do it now. And as Dr. Tom Smith said, he is simply a messenger from the God above us all, up there in the universe. And you are going to be a messenger from the God above us all too, just like I am. Remind you tomorrow night that our guest will be Ron Earl. And Ron will be here to talk about weather wars. Weather wars, folks, they are going on. Can a thunderstorm literally be created? Find out tomorrow night. Can a hurricane be created? You'll find out tomorrow night. And you'll find out some startling information right here on your Billy Goodman Happening and nowhere else. All I can say is I enjoyed your company. I hope the feeling is mutual. And I do look forward to your company tonight at Mad Night. Until then, have a happy everybody.